This week's Sunday Session is brought to you by Home Brewing's source of awesomeness online. More beer at morebeer.com.
Great beer is about drinkability. Doesn't matter the style.
You guys are like walking beer Wikipedia.
That's the first time that you've ever accepted me as a person.
Or you have a fermentation in your gut.
Yeah. I'm jet propelled at all times.
How many guys do you think that you have the privilege to slap?
Somebody who's never tasted a commercial example, and this is how you know everything about this beer? Please, you don't.
I think that's bullshit.
I think it's bullshit too.
Wow. Are you guys gonna arm wrestle?
No. We're gonna teabag fight. Yeah.
You heard of Junkyard Wars?
No. Can I get another high five, Beavis?
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Afternoon from Martinez, ladies and gentlemen, in our temporary studios in the suburb of Pacheco, California. Martinez, California. About 8 minutes away from the old Rat Pad. We've built a temporary studio here in my hood. And
8 minutes, but several thousand miles up.
Right.
Yes.
It is a... Definitely a step up. Although it is a temporary studio, so the sound's going to be a little funky, a little echoey tonight, and it's just what we got to do until we can build our permanent studio. But this is what we have to do to not miss shows, you know, because I'd rather that we don't do that. We got guests lined up, and we want to keep things rolling.
That's right.
If you watch justin.tv/brewingnetwork right now, you'll see that JP in Moscow probably like the temporary studio. They're more comfortable than ever.
Yeah, what do you think, Skit Scat?
It's quite comfortable.
It's pretty good, right?
I'm about to take a little napsky, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Guys got couches to sit on for this.
It does kind of feel weird, though, that we're back in a garage.
Yeah. Right. I thought we were moving up, JP.
Well, you know. Well, at least the garage is painted. It's half finished.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing like a finished garage.
That's true. I had a lot of stuff happening in my house and a lot of different moving going on. JP and I worked our ass off this week getting Studio D torn down in a day, and then getting Studio A, the old garage, which still had the original studio, plus all our merchandise stuff in it. We had to tear that stuff down, and it was quite a bit of 15-hour days this week getting it done. All at the same time, at my new place here, this TV stuff is starting to pay off for me. Not in paycheck-wise. They pay me crap for the TV stuff I do, but the contacts that I make. And the BYOB TV producer, and the same guy who got me the Carpool Showdown gig, his wife does a show called Home with Lisa Quinn, and it's a good show. It's like a national show on the Live Well Network. She came and redid my garage for me here at the new place. So that's the studio that you're seeing on justin.tv/brewingnetwork. Kind of man cave meets meets hangout.
Meets the San Francisco Giants.
Meets the Giants.
I love the colors in here.
She's a little orange and black. I didn't even ask for that. She just did it. And so that was going on here all week while JP and I were at the old place. I'm still not out of it. I got half of a garage full of shit there that I didn't get out yet.
I thought you had to be out by, what, 2 days ago?
I had to be out, yeah.
You got an extension?
And I just said, look, man, I'm doing my best. I got out of the house portion into about half of the garage and some junk on the side of the house that needs to get out.
It's a clogged drain, just slowly but surely.
Yeah. I just said, look, man, I mean... That's all I could do. It literally, I was there all day, every day, and there's so much junk.
Every day.
10 years, man, at that place. You just accumulate a bunch of junk. So, I'm close.
Have you discovered anything that you thought you lost, like, 4 years ago?
Not really. I discovered some stuff I wish I lost 4 years ago. But nothing, you know, nothing that I was like, oh, this is great. You know,
happy to have more stuff.
Yeah. So, anyway, we got all that going on. We're going to be out of this temporary studio for a little while. We're going to be moving the BN probably into its own little space in downtown Martinez, a little commercial space, so that we can do more video and a better studio. We always tend to upgrade when we move studios, even when it was moving within my own house. Mm. And this is just our temporary setup. But what we will be doing from here, probably on a regular basis, is a new project we've been working on with some Brewing Network DVDs. And I'm not going to talk too much about it yet. It's a little bit of a surprise, but it's really good stuff. It's going to some instructional type DVDs, but done BN style. You know, none of this. So first, you need to bring the wort to a boil.
Now, what is wort? Because you know, just maybe the people at home, maybe they don't know.
Is this you imitating my announcements again?
Right.
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and narrate the DVD for us,
Scott? Can you do our narrating? You know, one of the reasons we've avoided doing video for so long is that I didn't want to do shit and I didn't want it to be boring. So we've taken our time and I think we've got a good idea and a good handle on things. So part of this man cave thing has turned into a set also for these productions that we're doing. And we did a brew day here. I've been in my house for a couple of weeks. I've already brewed more in this house, I think, than I have in years. We did a brew day, and that was part of our video shoot. And you're going to be able to get this DVD through the Brewing Network soon.
Lucky you.
We got another one scheduled next week, too. So we'll have two of these videos coming out in short order. And if you guys like them, if you listeners think it's cool stuff, then we'll produce more of them, and we'll keep going with it. But lots of changes going on. I can hardly keep up. I'm sleepy. I'm ready to sleep.
I'm sleepy too.
For a long time. Susie Q was at Boonville, speaking of tired.
Boonville. She looks like $1 million for someone who just came from Boonville.
Seriously. She went to the Boonville Beer Festival and
drank a shit ton.
Of course you did. It's the Boonville Beer Festival.
You're and, like 10 million yen. Right,
you know, now. I've been to that a few times, and I think I came back and did a show once, one of those times.
I think it was the first time.
No, that was... you're right.
I don't think we really
after
knew.
That, you learned. Yeah. I learned. So I don't know what you're thinking. Tasty's got the day off. Nate's got the day off. Everybody who, except for Susie Q, who went to Boonville, has got the day off.
Champ.
Yeah, I heard of the month right there.
I heard that you were there, you know, drinking Friday quite a bit, and then you went for a jog early Saturday morning.
Yep.
Wow.
What's wrong with you?
I like to run.
What are you running from?
Yeah. I don't know how you do it. Don't you have... Do you not get hangovers?
No, I wasn't hungover at all.
Really?
We
what about
some,
today?
We had some, like, homemade wine, too.
Oh, boy.
And a lot of homebrew.
And even today you weren't hungover?
Mm-mm.
Why? Tell me what the secret is.
Sleep, water, food. I kept feeding people. I, like, turned the grill
simple.
On at, like, midnight. Everyone's still drinking and shit. I'm like, hey,
more
I'm gonna make sausages. Everyone needs to eat.
And the whole camp's like, that's great. Susie... Hey, Susie wants to feed a sausage. Come here. No, come on, it's fine. Drive this into you.
I had a vegetarian be like, I want a Polish dog.
Right.
Nicole wanted a Polish dog?
Man.
I tend to think that you're either prone to hangovers or you're not. Because everyone knows that, right? Eat, drink water, get some sleep. But, you know, some people still wake up hungover.
Dude, I didn't even get a sunburn. Check this out. It was like 95 degrees and I was just like,
I think she's drunk.
Yeah, maybe you're not hungover because you're still drunk, Susie.
It could possibly be.
That's the only time I don't wake up from those things hungover is when I wake up still drunk.
I remember waking up drunk in college. I was just like, yeah, I'm not hungover yet. Like 5 hours later, it's like, I hate my life. Get me a bowl of pho.
Maybe it's an Asian thing. Do you think it's a gene that
it
keeps you from being hungover?
Because like most of us are allergic to alcohol. That's why they get the red face thing going on.
Most of us.
My sister's allergic to alcohol. My brother
what
and I
shame.
Like, DD for life.
Yeah. What a rough lot in life. Can you imagine being allergic to not be able to drink beer? That's tough. It's worse. That's a lot worse than...
celiac or
whatever? Yeah, it's a lot worse than celiac disease.
What if you developed that allergy? I mean, you can develop an allergy at any point in life. Can you imagine? Your career would come crashing to a halt.
What would I do? I guess I'd sell this house. That's the first thing I'd do. And I don't know what else. I'd go back to flipping burgers.
You could fake it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that tastes very malty and things.
You mean I can do what you do at homebrew festivals?
Yes.
And just pretend that I'm drinking it?
You can pretend to enjoy it. Like, I really appreciate you giving me this beer.
Right. How was the fest this year? Was it good?
The fest was good this year. I saw some people dress up like zombies because it was a zombie apocalypse. It was really efficient to get in and out.
Okay.
Nothing too bad. A lot of drunk people, a lot of puke, a lot of people on the ground puking.
I don't know what it is about Boonville that just makes people go nuts. I guess it's that you're camping too, so you know that you can do whatever you want at the fest because you got a bed a short walk away.
Yep.
Or once you get to camp, you can do whatever you want there because you got a bed a short walk away, and so people just go crazy.
I think that's what it is. Yeah, you don't have to drive, and I think people start earlier than that because they get there. It's 12 o'clock. Hey, let's have a beer. What the fuck? It's Boonville, bro.
Yeah.
And and then by 4 o'clock, they're a disaster sawing logs in their tent if they even made it that far.
Yeah.
But we were just in Southern California, and that was a camping festival, but it's still, does Boonville seem like it's more even hardcore than Southern Cal? Well,
it is.
And there's more.
And there's more people, and there's more beer, and there's more high alcohol beer. Mm-hmm. It's because it's commercial beer, too.
SoCal is homebrewers.
Yeah. Right.
Where Boonville is college kids and amateurs.
That's the beauty of Boonville too. Yeah. As a beer fan, you're right, JP. But the other really fun part, I think, the reason so many people like to go to Boonville is it's also a bunch of brewers and pros.
Yeah. I didn't mean to say that all the brewers go. Like most brewers don't go to Beer Fest, but they go to Boonville.
Yeah,
because it's a fun thing, and I think mainly why they do it is because they're separate camps. There's a brewers camp where you have to be invited to, and then it's all your colleagues. And then you have all the other
all the amateurs are segregated
are across the road, like a mile down the road.
Yeah, there's a lot less puking going on the brewer's side.
Oh, for sure.
A lot more drinking, a lot less puking.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm glad you had fun, Susan. I'm glad you made it to the show. Susie is working the chat room for us today. Hit the chat button on the homepage. And that's the only way you can communicate with us while we're in our temporary studio. We don't have the 800 number up and running. I apologize for that. We just can't do it. It's not possible from here. But we'll get moved into the new studio as soon as possible. I just have to find it first, and then we'll move into it and build it. It could be a few weeks before we do that. But you can, old-fashioned style, just hit the chat button. Susie will get all your questions over to me. Our guest today, we're talking to Will and Mari Kemper from Chuckanut Brewery in Bellingham, Washington. And, you know, I have an interesting thing about Chuckanut. Now, Moscow had told me about it before, and when I did my trip last summer, all the way up to Vancouver and back, and I did the show from Vancouver, I passed Chuckanut on the way to Vancouver, and I didn't go to it. I went to the other brewery in Bellingham.
Boundary Bay.
I went to Boundary Bay, and I just didn't have time. We needed to get to Vancouver. Well, I figured on the way back, I'll stop at Chuckanut, which I did, and... Coming, it's real close to the border up there.
About a half an hour, yep.
So by the time I got down to Chuckanut was when I turned my phone back on and realized that Kate had been trying to call me. Kate the Gray had been trying to call me all night. So I checked my messages right about the time I ordered a beer at Chuckanut, and it's when I found out that the biscuit was a big mess.
Oh, no.
And had about 14 hours to live.
So your beer tasted like bile?
Actually, it was a wonderful beer, but I chugged it real fast and just said, we got to go. Hit the road and drove straight through. Hmm. So I didn't get to enjoy all the beers. Luckily, and I'm kind of surprised that I even remember too much of it because I was pretty emotional. I was in a little bit of shock about the biscuit. But I ordered the Kolsch, which is one of their award-winning beers, and I remember it being a fabulous Kolsch, and it was sort of disappointing that I wasn't in a frame of mind to enjoy it. I remember thinking to myself, this is a wonderful Kolsch. I feel like shit. And so I couldn't even enjoy this wonderful beer. So
hopefully it'll be a better experience today. We have a bottle of it.
Oh, we do?
Yep.
Fantastic.
And it just won a medal, silver medal at the World Beer Cup.
I hope it doesn't just make me cry like a bitch.
sensory memory?
I'll taste it. I'll go, oh, biscuit. Oh, God. but I do really remember them just being wonderful brewers. So I'm happy to have them on the show. It's Will and Mari. They're the founders, and Will is the brewer. And, man, they've just been winning awards. We've got some messages from different fans this week that some of them, it's their favorite brewery on earth.
Awesome.
Just a great lager brewery, and I think they do lots of other beers, too. I guess they sent us down three beers, right?
Three different styles, yep.
Fantastic. So we'll get to try it and talk about it. If you've got questions, just hit the chat button, and we'll make sure that we ask them. A couple of announcements going on. BNA 7 is still scheduled. I've been getting a lot of questions about tickets, and, you know, I never put tickets on sale until everything is finalized, because I just would hate to go through that whole process and have to figure out how to give all that back. And we are booked to be at Elysian on Wednesday, June 20th. If you're a donor in the BN Army, if you're a subscriber, a monthly donor, you're going to get first dibs on tickets. We're going to send out an email when they go for sale. I'm waiting for just a few more answers from the folks up in Washington before I can put the tickets on sale. I've got the buses on order. We've got the location picked out. There's just a couple licensing issues that still have to go through, so I can't put the tickets up until the breweries can donate beer. And until I figure out that we have beer, I just can't do it. So hang in there. It could happen any day. And like I said, you'll get an email if you're a recurring donor. So hit the donate button. And before we send that email, we'll go through the whole list and see who's a monthly donor. And we'll send one out to you. It's not likely to sell out. There's a lot of room at Elysian. So you're not too worried about that. It's just that if we do a VIP, and I'm still working out those details too. So hang in there. Summerfest, June 17th, right here in California, in Concord, actually, at Todo Santos. That's Father's Day, so come spend Father's Day with us. It's a chili cook-off with the police station and the fire department, and then the Brewing Network is putting on our first-ever summer beer festival. Tickets will go on sale for that, too. I finally just got the city to finish the paperwork for that on Friday. So tickets will go on sale for that probably this week, because we're about done. We got everything sorted out for that. Great. Now.
It's going to be a big 4 days. Summerfest, and then just 3 days later.
Exactly.
BNA
7. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it.
I can see it in your face.
Oh, man.
You're like a schoolgirl.
I'm always about, and I think every fest goes this way for me, I'm always about 5 minutes away from canceling the whole thing. I'm constantly 5 minutes away from canceling the whole thing. I'm a perfectionist. I want them to be great every time. And they do turn out great. But I worry about it the whole stupid time. And then when the city starts messing with this and that and permitting starts taking a while, I just start to go, look, every day that we don't have a permit or every day that this isn't finished makes my life more difficult, because everything gets put on hold because of it. You can't confirm with breweries. You can't do this. And I get gray hairs out of it, man. I hate it.
You do.
He hates that literally. I hate festivals. I love going to festivals. Festivals are fantastic. I hate our festivals. At the same time, I think we put on the best festivals around. I think we have the best beer. We have the best entertainment. But I hate doing them.
I like putting them on. I think it's fun. But I hate going to them.
You don't like going
to them? I'm so bored with beer festivals. Yeah. It's the same thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't need it. But I like going, and I like seeing people having fun.
Right.
And that makes me feel good. So I'm good with that. I'll put them all day long, but don't expect me to go and have fun.
I think that if we were to create the Beer Fest channel, then JP would just stay home watching people have fun at beer festivals.
Only
he'd just watch
them
it.
On. Only if I did the work and did, you know, helped out and whatever.
Right.
Like, that's fine. I don't like just walking by one and going, oh, they look like they're having a good life.
You don't sit at the cafe across the street.
No. But yeah. Like on the Winterfest, I was like smiling like some sort of maniac.
Right.
It's like, this is great. Everyone, I think I approached you half drunk. This is so good. Because, like, everyone's real happy. It's because of us, and we did this thing.
I think you did.
And then I kissed you real hard.
And then I got a kiss right in the butt.
With my wiener. You got a wiener kiss.
All right. So that festival's coming up. We'll give you all the information on it. Tickets will probably go on sale for it later in the week. All right, and we're planning for club night. You can contact JP@thebrewingnetwork.com if you want to be at our club booth. It's your club, by the way, the club that is ahead in points in the first round national homebrew competition right now.
It's not too late to dump your old club and jump on. I'm just kidding.
All right.
Do that.
If you shop at Amazon, do it through the link on our homepage. Just click that. Do all your normal shopping, and we get a cut of it. It's a nice way to help us out. Same with the Micromatic. If you see Micromatic banner on our homepage, you can click that and order your tap and draft supplies through them. And we get a little cut from that, too. Shop in the BN store, which is currently down. The BN store is down until we figure out our new location. So I'm hoping that's only a matter of days, but I haven't negotiated the new building yet. So I don't know what's going to happen. So just hang in there. iPhone apps are still in the store, though, in both in iTunes and the Android market. Just search BN Mobile. Watch all this live on justin.tv/brewingnetwork. Subscribe and join the BN Army. You can get all this on Twitter and Facebook. Send show ideas to scott@thebrewingnetwork.com. Send feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. Everything else goes to jp@thebrewingnetwork.com.
And I don't get anything else.
You don't, huh? No. Nobody believes me that I genuinely want everything else to go to JP. I don't care.
What else is there, though? Give us an example of what might be said.
It actually all goes to feedback.
Well, people write in like, the forum didn't work, and this is happening, and, oh, you really ought to think about doing things this way, and all this stuff. And I don't care anymore.
It all goes to feedback, seriously.
It does.
I fucked it forward so much. So it does go to JP. It goes to, well, indirectly, but it still goes to feedback. Mm. Yeah. Like, I can't, this one guy, I want a high-res photo of the logo. Is that really feedback?
Right.
I don't think it is.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. We've got a lot to do today, so I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and get to our guests. We'll do feedback a little later in the show. And JP, remind me when we come back, we should probably set up the Twitter game before we get to our phone call, right?
We should.
You want to set it up right now? Or do you not have it ready?
I don't have it ready.
All right. Think about it over this quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Chuckanut Brewing Brewery out of Washington. And a great lager. I can't wait to try their Kolsch again. So it's the session from our temporary studios in Martinez. I wish I could just lie and say it's Pacheco. I'm a bit sad about not saying Pacheco. Hang in there. It's the session.
Listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. MoreBeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to MoreBeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the learning center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Hi, I'm Jamel Zanishev, and in addition to my work on the Brewing Network, I write the style profile column in every issue of Brew Your Own magazine.
Hi, I'm Sean Paxton, and when I'm not prepping for the Homebrewed Chef on the Brewing Network, you can find me writing articles on how to cook with your homebrew for Brew Your Own magazine.
Greetings, cretins. This is John Palmer, and when I'm not writing for Brew Your Own, I'm reading it.
John Palmer, Sean Paxton, Jamil Zainashev. If you love listening to them on the Brewing Network, you'll love reading their articles, tips, and recipes in the pages of Brew Your Own magazine. Join Jamil, John, and Sean 8 times a year in Brew Your Own. And when you subscribe to BYO on the Brewing Network website, half of your subscription price goes right back to the BN to support great beer and food programming. So sign up for Brew Your Own magazine through the BN website today so you can listen and read your way to better homebrew.
Nico, listen, our lawyers said that we had to do this for 1 hour, and after this, we don't have to talk to each other for 3 more months and then to the next meeting.
Kids, come on, let's get out of here.
I'm supposed to have more lines. I'm the professional. Hey, it's Sully.
And I'm Nico.
And we opened the 21st Amendment 9 years ago at 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park, to make great beer and have a great time doing it.
That's right, because to us, the 21st Amendment is more than just the right to make beer. It's the right to experiment, to be innovative, and just do things differently. And so now, we're putting our craft beer in cans.
That's right, cans. You can find our world-famous Heller High Watermelon Wheat Beer and Brew Free or Die IPA throughout California and Alaska.
And now it's also available on draft at select accounts in the Bay Area.
So next time you're at your local neighborhood pub or good beer store, be sure to ask for 21st Amendment in cans.
Because everyone likes it in a can.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Williams Brewing is...
is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of our 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Our Williams Belgian Pale Extract is mashed with pure Belgian two-row malt and a small percentage of Belgian wheat malt for an authentic Belgian character you just can't get from other extracts. Or check out our unique fermenters, 2.5-gallon kegs, paintball tank-based draft beer equipment, bottling aids, and much more. We even have our own line of precision hydrometers. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com to browse our vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 3:30 p.m. Pacific time ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
Session.
Brewing up our next batch of Radio Gold.
Right now.
All right, welcome back to the program. Thanks for sticking with us. Hit the chat button if you want to communicate with us today. Susie Q's in there taking your questions. The 800 number's not working, so just hit the chat now button and get to us that way. And we're still waiting on Doc to get in the studio. We've got JP in Moscow here. You can go to justin.tv/brewingnetwork and watch all the radio action on TV by clicking that, justin.tv/brewingnetwork. In the meantime, I should have Mari and Will Kemper, who are the owner and founders of Chuckin' Up Brewery in Bellingham, Washington. Mari and Will, are you guys there?
I'm here.
I'm here as well.
Yes!
How about that? I'll have you guys...
It works.
The first this is the first temporary studio I've ever put up that actually works the first time. That's amazing.
Oh, cool.
Hey, welcome to the show, guys.
Okay. Yeah, we're excited.
Thank you.
I got to... I don't know if you heard in the beginning, I got to stop into your brewery for about 5 minutes passing through last summer. Just enough time to put down a Kolsch really quickly.
And then to put your dog down.
And then to come home and put my dog down. That's how it went. But yeah, it was, I do genuinely remember it being a fantastic Kolsch, and I was only disappointed that I couldn't stay and enjoy more. So I'm happy to have you guys on so we can try some more.
Oh, great.
I'm glad you liked it.
Oh, that's right. Did we send you some Kolsch?
We've got a couple. In fact, I've got the Kolsch right in front of me now.
Okay.
So we were going to start with that. We thought we'd start with the lighter of the styles that you sent. Now, are you guys primarily a lager brewery?
Primarily, I'd say yes, but that's a statistical question. So I would say probably about 20% of our beers are ales, German and English ales, and the rest are lagers.
Okay. And this Kolsch that I just tasted... That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Is
Thank you.
You guys won silver at World Beer Cup for this just a week ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did.
We won, yeah, that the Kolsch, the Kolsch is doing well these days. The Kolsch it's won besides that silver, it's won several golds, but it has an interesting heritage behind it, and it's only about 2 years old that we've had it. And what happened was when I was brewing overseas, I had an assistant brewer who actually trained in Cologne, Germany. And so we were brewing a Kolsch that he got the strain from Cologne. And I thought that was a wonderful beer. This is when we were brewing in Istanbul, Turkey. And when I came back to America, I couldn't get the Kolsch strain in. And it was very disappointing. I tried certain strains available in America, and I wasn't satisfied with it because a good Kolsch has dryness. It's almost
right.
contrary to the aspect of a liquid, a beer, but dryness. And that has to do with the byproducts, the lack of or low concentration of esters, if you will, and you know, that's a generalization of it. So anyway, let's see, a year ago last November, we were fortunate to to go to Germany again. I made arrangements for the yeast strain that is actually maintained in a laboratory in Cologne, Germany, to be sent where we were staying in Germany. And so I picked up a couple of slants there, one I physically brought over and one I put in my suitcase. And so the point is, I finally got that slant over here, and then we shipped it immediately to a yeast maintenance laboratory that we can access.
Okay.
So that's a cold strain we've been using for the last year or so, and it is truly spot on as far as the Kolsch characteristics.
Now, I can tell you, Will, right now, that even if I hadn't tried the Kolsch, just hearing you describe the style and how important the yeast is already makes me know that you know how to make a great Kolsch. Because I agree with you on all of those aspects of the style, and I honestly wish that more brewers were able to make a good Kolsch. I think it's a style that could be extremely popular in the U.S., but I think it's a very difficult beer to make, so a lot of times I think brewers fail at it.
Yeah, first of all, it's a very, very fragile beer because it doesn't have anything to mask any flaws. That's the thing about the Kolsch, in that it's a light, very drinkable beer. And it has to be produced, once again, spot on, or else what happens, any kind of deficiency will override the positive characteristics that you're trying to get. The other thing I want to say about that, the good Kolsch beer, it would be very helpful to go to Cologne, Germany, and to really drink beers that are produced in Cologne, the true Kolsch beers. And that, then I think a lot of people would respect that particular flavor. It's just not, you just can't casually do it.
And, I think that the casual part of doing it is exactly right, that what a lot of brewers end up trying to do. It's such a subtle beer. In fact, I think that, and especially now that I'm tasting yours, I'm kind of developing this thought as I'm drinking yours. American light lager is more akin, it's a failure, by the way, but it's more akin to a Kolsch than a Pilsner. And I think that people think that American light lager maybe comes from the Helles style, the Pilsner style, and it just got watered down over the years or whatever happened. But to me, it's closer to a Kolsch. If American light lager could have the malt character, the dryness, and even the crisp hop character of a Kolsch, I think I would love it.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with that. As far as the American light lager, how it comes across your palate, it is somewhat similar to the Kolsch, but you hit upon the very important thing: the subtlety of the malt that comes through, the subtlety of the malt, as well as once again the dryness. What that dryness does, it makes you want to drink more, and that's the bottom line of beer: is that it should be a pleasurable experience, and I like it, and gee, I'd like some more.
And it's not that, we always say our beers are meant to be drunk, not necessarily get you drunk.
Right.
Because we produce drinking beers, the kind that you sit around and enjoy your company, and you can have more than one of them, and they don't fill you up.
Well, listen to you two. You're innovators. Beer that you actually want to drink again and again. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they're not high alcohol beers, but
good.
they're moderate, I would say, in alcohol, at least the way they are. Beers are produced nowadays, I mean, these high alcohol beers.
But they are true to the styles.
Yes.
That's the key. And so, styles have certain alcoholic content, and we tried to target that.
So what is the ABV on this Kolsch, Will?
ABV on that is only about 4.5.
Okay. That's wonderful. Our co-host Doc just got here, and he's our resident lager brewer. And Doc, what you've got in front of you is a Chuckanut Kolsch. It's a gold medal, a silver medal winning at the World Beer Cup, but a several times over gold medal winning Kolsch. And I think it's a fantastic example of the style.
It is pretty right on.
Yeah.
Get a lot of people that call it Kolsch, and it's not.
Right.
But this is dead on.
Doc has his radio voice on today.
Yeah, I think Doc was out drinking last night or something. He does have his radio voice.
Yeah, well, Will's just getting over this horrendous cold, so he doesn't sound like he normally sounds.
Everybody sound. That's all you got. A key to everybody. Listen, if you want to get into radio, just abuse your voice for a few nights, and then you sound great.
A few packs a day.
Right.
Let me also say one other thing. A small thing that really assists in that dryness is we use very slight proportion of malted wheat.
Okay. So percentage-wise, what is a small portion?
A small portion is less than 10%.
Okay. All right. Of malted wheat.
And what you want to do... What you want to do it's right below 10%. And so what we do is that we use whole bag considerations in this, but for a home brewer and such. And you know, just what you want to do is that you can play with that various proportion. Once again, start at about 10%. If you want a bit drier, maybe go up to 15 to 20%. Now the issue there, though, is once you start fooling around with wheat, then what happens is that can start affecting their clarity because of a high concentration of proteins that might be with the wheat.
Okay. So what is the wheat, what does the malted wheat do? Is it a more fermentable sugar that comes out of it?
No. The fermentable capability is comparable to the barley, but it's the flavor itself.
I see.
The flavor itself. Now, you can't think in terms of a Hefe beer type beer that most people are familiar with, because you're thinking in terms of, once again, you're thinking in terms of byproducts of fermentation. So the actual pure flavor of the malted wheat, that's the key. So if you can have, you know, so trying to derive that, you know, the beers we do are just basically we put a palate out there and it's the malt and the hops, so the purity of those that come through, that's our intent. So yeah, the wheat really adds a dryness.
Okay. And you know, it's such a unique characteristic that a Kolsch has. They're all subtle characters, but yeah, that dryness is key. It's noble hops in a Kolsch also, right?
Yeah, actually, our hops, we use a small German supplier that I've used for about 20 years now, and the hops really aren't like a lot of beer, like a German Pilsner, a lot of beers where the hops come through, but yeah, it's Tettnanger, to be specific on the noble hops that we use for that.
All right.
But the hops really, you know, are only intended for to balance it, just like most beers.
So IBU wise, what would we be looking at on a Kolsch like yours?
You'd be looking at about 18.
18, really low.
Yeah.
It's so amazing.
It's pretty low, yeah.
It's funny that it used to be when you heard big IBU numbers, those were the things that impressed us. We'd go, wow, I can't believe that many IBUs. Now I'm extremely impressed when I hear 18 IBUs. I go, wow, that's so low.
Well, the idea is that, you know, that the hops are just the balance. The hops should be an overriding type of flavor.
Yes. This is what I'm trying to get everyone on the West Coast to do, and nobody wants... Well, they're starting to do it now.
Don't you mean Hop Coast?
Hop Coast! It is. But, you know, it's... I don't know. I personally think this Kolsch is much more enjoyable than a friggin' double IPA or an IPA in general.
I agree.
I'll drink it all day long.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, and summertime is... Summertime hopefully is happening, too. And believe me, it's a pretty good summer drinking beer.
Yeah. Well, so now I've already discovered, you know, what I don't like about Chuckanut.
What?
I can't get your beer down here.
It's true.
Yeah, I'm already disliking you for that. Now,
we do what we can.
Now, Will, you started Chuckanut not too long ago, in 2008, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
But you've been bouncing around the brewing scene for quite a while at tons of different breweries.
Yeah, I've been kicked out of from one place to the next. I still
I see.
Yeah, like we started in brewing in the mid-1980s, where we started a brewery called Thomas Kemper, and then that led to various other things. And so over the years, setting up and working at various breweries across America, And then about the last 10 years, we were overseas doing a couple of breweries in Istanbul, like I said, and then even prior to then, actually not overseas, but we're in Mexico for a few years as well.
Wow.
And so the Istanbul experience was wonderful because we were there several years, and what I had to do was, for the sake of beer, I made it within our contract that we had to travel around Europe, Germany, Belgium, and England in particular, for the sake of beer, because that would advance Mari and myself within our profession. And for me, talking to brewers all, you know, in those places and really delving into the peculiarities at these various areas, it was very helpful. So we brought back a lot of those aspects that you know, are done overseas. Some we look at and said, yeah, that's fine. And some we said, well, that's not so fine. But we're trying to put into place something here that kind of a cherry-picking what I consider a lot of the positive things that we came across, and for a brewery here to also offer beers that are generally not seen in the Pacific Northwest. You know, the fascinating thing to me is that now, checking it, I think we did like 1,500 barrels last year.
Okay.
We might be the biggest lager brewery in the Pacific Northwest.
That's amazing.
That is. I mean, it's not that we do so. It says something about the industry, though.
Sure, it really does.
And excuse me. So anyway, we are using certain techniques that, you know, that we came across, as well as obviously over the last 20 some odd years, you know, in America, and so we have kind of an artistic freedom to do you know, these various things.
Right. Now, Mari, have you been traveling around with Will on all these adventures in different countries?
Yeah, I'm sort of the sidekick and an official taster and pairing expert. Like, oh, this beer would be great with that food, kind of thing.
I want your job.
That's a sweet gig.
You don't want to do what I do because now I'm the jack of all trades and constantly working.
I'm sure.
After we left Kemper, we went to the East Coast. Will worked with Weeping Radish. I don't know if you guys know about them. They had
heard of
about three brew pubs on the East Coast, North Carolina, and they opened one in Virginia Beach. And then we moved to Philly, and Will opened up the original Dock Street Brew Pub in Philadelphia. And then he went and he took the equipment out of the brewery he did in Virginia Beach and put it into Capital City Brewing in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And that was the first Capital City Brewing in the D.C. area.
Okay.
He put that brewery in, and then he went up to Lowell, Massachusetts, and put the brewery together for the Lowell Brewing. It was also called Mill City Brewing up in Lowell, Massachusetts, and then we came back to the West Coast, and he became the corporate brewmaster for what was known as Beers Across America, and that was Norwester Beers, Norwester in Portland, Aviator Ales in Seattle, Orange County Brewing in Orange County, California, Mile High in Denver, Colorado.
Wow.
And Saratoga.
And then they were working on a Saratoga one when the thing actually dissolved. And it was after that work that Will got involved with the Mexicans. And he put in the first two brew pubs in Monterrey, Mexico.
Wow.
And we lived in Monterrey for about a year and a half. And then we came back from there. You know, in between all these, we're trying to get our own thing going, but it never really panned out. So that's why we ended up traveling to all these different exotic locations.
Sure. Well, hearing that list,
like Orange County.
Now that Will is stuck at his own brewery, I don't know who the hell's building breweries anymore. It sounds like you built half the breweries in North America.
Well, The original, the old days. Now there's so many breweries,
sure.
And so many of them are so good. Actually, we're always so impressed when we go to the GABF and this World Beer Cup, and we get to taste all these different beers. And it's amazing how the industry has really expanded and become much more sophisticated than in the early days. And I have an original recording of our opening in '84 for Thomas Kemper, and at that time, there were 26 microbreweries,
wow.
Is what it was called, in America
wow.
In '84. And then, you know, it seemed like in the 90s there was a boom, and then there was a collapse, and then there was a boom and a collapse, and now we're into the boom again.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, it's just growing. So.
What a journey. That's fantastic. Now,
yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm going to be honest here, the Kemper name, I almost let it slip right by me. But you guys are the Thomas Kemper name, is what
yeah,
you're saying here.
The soda came out of our brewery.
It did. So Thomas Kemper yeah. used to be, and I'm asking, it used to be a brewery and soda when it started? Is that what happened?
That's correct. It was originally a brewery, yeah. And the name Thomas Kemper, our associates were the Thomases and then us. So that's
I
where
see.
The name Thomas Kemper originated.
Yeah, it was in Bainbridge Island for a year, and then we quickly outgrew it, moved to Paulsbo. It was an old meatpacking plant in the middle of countryside, kind of, and we kind of organized it so we had a little pub there. It was one of the first in Washington State. I can remember that the liquor board says, well, wait a minute, you can't have a pub associated with your brewery because it has to be like 200 feet off the property or something like that. And I said, well, where does it say that? And they said, well, it doesn't say that, but it
yeah.
doesn't say that you can do it. And I said, well, how do you change it? And they said, well, just write us a letter. So I
wow.
did, and it got changed.
Wow. That's amazing.
Just write him a letter.
Oh, okay. Can I do that? Can I just do that in crayon? Will that be okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it might have been.
Probably was. I love that about the ABC in general, by the way. That they just interpret it anyway. Yeah, but it also doesn't say you can do that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I always thought laws were, you know, if it doesn't say you can't do it,
then you can. Exactly.
Yeah. That's how we would all think, but that's yeah. not the truth.
I see.
I don't know. I've seen those movies with, like, the dog that plays basketball, and there's always the scene where the coach is like, well, there's no rule that says the dog can't play.
Right. It works in the movies.
First of all, we need to talk about what movies you watch.
Air Bud, Golden Receiver.
Right.
Hello.
Now, so now, and you guys got, you became uninvolved with Thomas Kemper several years ago, I guess.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah, it was sold to Pyramid, and Pyramid actually built the soda company up, and then
I see.
Pyramid sold, they sold the soda company to what's now called Kemper Soda Company, which then just very recently got sold to a big, I think it's Red Bull or some big beverage company.
Wow.
Bought it.
Getting passed around.
So it's been through, through many incarnations.
Is it strange for you two to see your name as a brand like that? I mean, it's your family name. That's it's now. I mean, because if it wasn't a good brand, they'd just change the name. They'd buy the company. But it's actually a good brand, you know.
Yeah, it's a great soda, and we actually sell it. You know, have it available here in our pub in the kitchen there.
Nice.
Because we think it's a good product, and we're very, very proud that our name is on it because we think it's a great product.
That's cool. Very cool. Well, before I get us too far from Kolsch, the listeners in our chat room have already put up some questions for you, Will. So
sure, go ahead.
Let's see. One of our listeners in the chat wants to know, how does the Kolsch yeast that they have compare to the yeast that, say, like the companies like White Labs make available to us homebrewers? Do you have any experience with that?
Well, that actually, there are two questions with what I hear within that. First of all, it's a matter of the yeast that you have, and I say quality. In other words, you have to understand that, you know, the timing of the yeast. Fortunately, in a commercial brewery, you get yeast in very good condition, and you keep on repitching it. So the vitality, the vigorousness, all the positive aspects of the yeast in a commercial brewery are so much easier to deal with. Okay, then you're talking about yeast strain, the various yeast strains, and it's a matter of the yeast libraries throughout the world. Throughout the world, they maintain various types of strains for whatever purpose, Kolsch and such. Oftentimes, when you discuss this with the yeast library, you get their input, and actually what I've done when I worked with the libraries here, I actually give them the name and the number of the particular yeast strains that I was wanting to get overseas, and they couldn't get it for me. And they couldn't get in, so okay, I had to go elsewhere. So, but for me, like I said, I was after one particular yeast strain, and to suggest that other yeast strains are as good. Well, I'm sure there are probably hundreds of potential strains out there.
Sure.
But it's a matter of knowing what I have worked with in the past, and I just can't do that much experimentation.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So
basically, that person might want to try one strain, and then if they're not comfortable or they don't like the flavor they're getting from that, then go ahead, yes, try a different strain. But
yeah, that particular strain, when we came back, I tried to get the strain in. I contacted the yeast library in Cologne. I said let's work with it. I need this strain in.
Right.
And basically all the filings that we had to do to bring it in through FDA in particular and other governmental entities, it became so out of the question to do it. I mean, I was getting forms that were so many pages that maybe you can do it if you fill out all these forms and we'll see what we can do type of attitude. And the library over in Colonia, they just said, well, we can't deal with that. So in essence, I was forced to do this approach.
Right. It sounds very German to me.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you ran into these problems.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Did that answer his question?
I think so. It sounds to me like that same listener, if he likes the profile of your Kolsch as well, then he could brew, like you said, Mari, he could brew his own beer with a couple of the strains and try a side-by-side next to your beer, and then maybe he could find the comparison himself.
Yeah. Now the other thing I want to point out here is we're talking yeast strains, and that's a key thing for that particular beer, but a Kolsch is done under certain conditions, very lager-like conditions.
Oh, right.
Our fermentation temperatures for that Kolsch, for example, is between 60 and 64 degrees Fahrenheit, and
okay.
Then ultimately we cold condition our beers. And when I say cold condition, we don't go down to 34, we go down to 30.
Wow.
And it's a lot more difficult as far as certain aspects as far as thermodynamics in particular to go down those additional degrees. But it's important for our beers, these lager beers and such, to go down to literally just above freezing temperature. Now, this is just, this is difficult. This is difficult, but you need the equipment so that you cold condition your beers at 30, 31 degrees. Well, our ales like Kolsch and Altons, they're cold conditioned a bit higher, so they're cold conditioned up to 31 degrees Fahrenheit.
All right.
So the lagers are even colder than that, and that goes to something as far as it's kind of a classical German consideration, and in the late 1900s, the god of beer was a fellow named Ludwig Narzis, and he did wonderful, wonderful research as far as practical research into how certain beers should be done. One of the things was that, you just cold condition just above freezing, and we're talking freezing of beer, so, it's colder than water because of the alcohol content. And so, that's the other thing. So to manufacture a beer, well, you're talking about fermentation, and you're talking about true conditioning and true aging of it.
So I would say if someone was trying to homebrew a Kolsch, that if they were aging it in the refrigerator, that they'd have to have the refrigerator pretty damn cold
right.
in order to bring it to these temperatures that Will is discussing.
Now, I did have a specific question come through from the chat, actually, about your fermentation regimen. So, are there any... you said your fermentation temperature, what did you say, 61? About?
Yeah, actually for that particular beer, it goes up to 64, I believe.
64, okay.
And by the way, what we do here, it's all of our beers are work in progress.
Okay.
So what I'm saying here is that all of our beers, some we can do more than the others, and so we have more experience, but we're never finished. We're never finished. When you look at something, you say, well, that's fine. It's a great beer, whatever. It's a bad beer. But if it's a good beer, well, that's okay, but always try to improve. That's what we're trying to do. So we've made good beers, and we're always going to make better beers.
Oh, I love this philosophy. That's fantastic. Now, do you, with your fermentation temperature for this one at 64, do you let it free rise at all at the end to do any cleaning, or will you crash from there?
What happens is, when I say that's a ceiling temperature, so we'll be coming in at 60 to 61 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
And we are very precise because we have certain thermocouples in our tanks, and our system is rather computer controlled.
Okay.
So it's a wonderful tool to allow us to try to do better beer. And so what I'm saying is that once we come in and we make sure that fermentation gets off well, and so our ceiling temperature will be 64. So what happens now is that it's under control situation to cool it with glycol, so if it if temperature starts to get above 64, and we're talking decimal of a degree, Fahrenheit is a control for that, then it'll turn on cooling. It'll turn on the cooling in order to chill the tank down down below that particular point.
Okay.
Okay. So then we have that situation after it's fermented. And by the way, the other thing, what we do, that particular beer, that is all natural carbonation. So we use something called a spooning device. So our beer, at the end of fermentation, and the yeast strain is capable of doing this as well, what happens is that we put on devices, so at the end of fermentation, it builds up the carbon dioxide naturally. And, granted, it's under pressure,
mm-hmm.
but the point is we can control the CO2 buildup there, and so we don't inject CO2 afterwards. It's all naturally carbonated. And then after the beer is basically fermented out, then we'll step it down to the lower temperatures through a couple of plateaus.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the cold, we'll cold condition it for about a week to 10 days.
I see. Oh, not as long as I thought. A week to 10 days.
No, that's an ale.
Oh, that's right. It's still an ale, sure. Yeah. I think I need a spooning device. I mean, it just sounds awesome.
You and I made a spooning device last night.
Well, what that does, though, is that, it's one of the things. Like, you look at the best CO2 that comes off of it is due to fermentation. And so instead of injecting it, and then what happens now is when you're talking about CO2, you're talking about certain qualities. And when you talk about foam, it can boil down to what's referred to as foam positive and foam negative characteristics. And so what happens now is that once you start injecting CO2, once you start creating foam, you start denaturing foam positive aspects. So what you do here is, by doing it naturally, where it's maintained, it's truly due to the fermentation and molecular input for the CO2, then you build it up. And then what happens is you're not affecting the beer. We're not handling the beer. We're not doing things to just slightly destroy the aspect of the CO2. So that CO2 you get, it's about as ideal as you can.
Right.
As far as and so it creates good lacy and all that good stuff.
Okay.
And that's also the Rhine husk boat, where
sure.
you're not injecting anything besides the yeast, malt, water, and hops, and that's it.
It is. In fact, I was going to ask to make sure that I'm not actually phoning you guys in Germany right now, the way that your brewing set is. Well, for one, I'm really cheap, and my phone bill can't handle that. But your techniques are very German style brewery. Well,
that one is, truly is. But the reason we do that is it's better for the beer. So I don't care if it comes from Germany, England, or South America, or wherever. It's better for the beer. Now, it was originated due to the Reinheitsgebot, as Mario was saying, and the big breweries, they could capture, because it meant that the CO2 source had to be come from fermentation, so they could capture it, strip it, and inject it back. Mm. Small breweries couldn't do that, because that equipment would cost as much as a brewery, possibly.
Yeah.
So they've developed these techniques in order to, it's kind of like just a relief valve for the CO2, but the point is, the beer is naturally carbonated like that.
Okay.
And actually, so a lot of the things are German, a lot of things we do are English, and certainly a lot of things we do are American. It's wonderful because the idea here is we look at these various areas, and Germany has wonderful ideas, England does, America is so incredibly innovative in that, so the idea is to put them together to make the best beer we can.
Right.
Will always says he uses German engineering, English, British knowledge, and American know-how and originality.
Right. Well, it sounds like it. And isn't that the great thing about American craft beer, too, is that we, in general, I think great American craft brewers are blending the techniques of all these different countries, and the Belgians, and you name it, putting it all together.
Yeah, it's amazing how what restrictions some places have, and so fortunately we don't have those. So take advantage of what they've been able to understand and develop, and what we are able to do.
Right.
When we were down there at the World Beer Cup, we were with an Australian friends who have a brewery in Australia, and they said the one thing the Americans do, they have a can-do attitude. It's like, so what if they're not scientists? They can do it.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, we don't have that history. I think the history is what kind of stops the others from moving forward in some ways with that kind of creativity that the Americans have, or the can-do attitude. But, that's the wonderful thing about Americans, and you realize that when you do travel and live in these other countries.
Sure. You end up finding out that we are just dumb enough to think that we can pull it off.
Right.
And oftentimes we're right.
Well, I think the rest of the world lets us go ahead and let America do it. And that way, if they screw it up,
we'd be pretty stupid at stuff.
Yeah, well, yes, if we screw it up, everyone can just go, "Oh, America, that was such a bad
thing."
But if we do it right, then it's like, "Oh, America, you finally got it right." And then they'll do it and copy it and then say it's theirs. So screw the rest of the world. But it's all about America.
And Mari, your friend makes a good, it's really a good example using something like science. Like, "Oh, I don't know anything about science, but I'll figure it out anyway."
Exactly.
And we do that.
That's what Google's for, dude. That's why Google's around. If you don't know how to do something, it's on YouTube.
Yeah, but by the way, that's Mari talking. The language of brewing is science.
It is.
Yep.
So,
absolutely. Okay, well, listen, guys.
It's also English, apparently.
We've got some more beer of yours to try.
Yeah.
I need to take a quick break and take care of some sponsors here real quick. So if you can hang in there for a couple minutes, we'll be right back.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're talking to the Chuckanut Brewery right now in Bellingham, Washington, a wonderful team that we're talking to. We'll try their beers. We got a couple more to try here. An alt beer, I think, they sent us, which is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So hang in there. It's the session. If you've got questions, just hit the chat button on the homepage, and we'll get your questions answered. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
State Route 101, they're live. just relax, grilling and chilling, bro.
Relax, grilling and chilling in Hollister, California is a craft beer lover's dream come true.
Not like a creepy JP dream. Like a normal craft beer lover's dream.
30 taps pouring your favorite craft beer. Visit Relax Grillin' and Chillin' on Facebook to see the most up-to-date beers and what's on the grill.
And let us grill so you can chill.
Angus burgers, filet mignon and ribeye steaks, dogs and sandwiches and more. Great food, great beer in a place where you can kick back and relax. Tuesdays are brewery nights. Come in to celebrate. And you're not limited to enjoying your favorite brew at the restaurant. Relax Grillin' and Chillin' has beer to go. Relax, grillin' and chillin'. Let them grill so you can chill.
In a world where everything has been lost.
What happened to the city? It's in ruins.
Only one man has the ancient knowledge to restore civilization.
I need a drink. No, the liquor store's been ransacked.
You looking for beer, stranger? Boy, all the liquor got drunk up in the first 25 minutes of the apocalypse.
Wait, there's still some bottles over... Oh, no. Those are non-alcoholic beer.
I reckon you better stick to arrowroot tea and a desperate nomadic existence like the rest of us.
People, I'm a home brewer. I know how to make alcohol.
Done.
Come with me if you want the beer. Okay, I'm gonna need some big plastic buckets.
He is the chosen one. The prophecies say that he's gonna get us wasted.
Someone start heating water. And
from the creators of Northern Brewer, the people who brought you 7.99 Brew Saver shipping, massive selection, and superior customer service comes the Home Brewer.
What'd you get? More brewing ingredients?
Yep. You know what I love about Brewmaster's Warehouse? The $6.99 shipping.
Well, yeah, but...
Oh, the in-store classes for beginning brewers.
Yeah, that's cool, but...
Oh, the Brew Builder. Creating and saving your recipes online is awesome!
No, I'm... Yes, but...
The cheese-making supplies.
No.
Oh, the wine-making supplies. Oh, the distilling equipment and liquor flavorings.
All that stuff is awesome, yes, but what I really love is that the guy who runs it is totally hot. And that Brew Builder software is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Brewmaster's Warehouse brings you flat rate shipping on great equipment and ingredients to make beer, wine, cheese, and spirits at brewmasterswarehouse.com. And if you're in Georgia, stop by Brewmaster's Warehouse Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6. Visit brewmasterswarehouse.com today
because it's totally hot.
Oh, yeah.
What's funny is brewers just say, yeah, I don't brew to style. I'm brewing my own beer. And it's like a German Pilsner, but it's black.
Yeah, it's a sports beer. You know.
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to
The Session.
Into this session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
All right, welcome back to the program, and thanks for sticking with us. You're listening to The Session. We've got Chuckanut Brewery on the line from Bellingham, Washington.
Oh, wow.
And, Mari and Will.
Yeah.
We just opened your Pilsner, and it's blowing our mind right now.
Yeah,
this is pretty darn good.
Oh my goodness! It has that same. It's a nice dry Pilsner, but what? It's like a floral, noble character to it. That is.
Thank you.
It's so that character is so bright.
Yeah.
Yep.
It. Yeah.
It's blowing it's my
sharp,
mind.
Bright and sharp and well, very much there.
Yeah.
It's very much there.
Well, that one, the key on that one is Tettnanger again for that. That has, you know, a lot of final hoppings with the Tettnanger, which is can be a subtle hop, but that's a key on that. Now that beer, by the way, that's done pretty well in contests too, but I got to tell you a story then as far as the classification for that for IBUs is a ceiling of 40 IBUs. And so sometimes we put that in, and some feedback we got is it's not bitter enough for it.
Hmm.
Well, we've had that literally analyzed at sophisticated laboratories, and no, we don't hit 40, but we do hit 39.
Really?
So point is that somebody suggested that didn't have the bitterness. That's okay. That's more personal than anything.
Right. You know, if
and
I
also I think it may be a combination of the hops, I mean the malt, and just the use of the malts and how it affects the sensation of how you might read those hops.
Right.
It could be the water too. Could be modifying that a little bit.
But. Yeah, the chemistry of the water goes a long way, in the beer makeup. So we use that, and all of our beers, all of the liquor is adjusted for whatever beer we're doing. That one, by the way, is that, the key, simplistically, you can use calcium sulfate. I'm very big on using calcium in particular. Sulfate gives dryness, chloride gives roundness. So, what is a style of beer? And just, simplify the approach, chloride or sulfate, and it makes life a lot easier.
Go ahead.
Besides that, I also want to add that besides the mineral treatment, well, we live in a nice town for water, but I wouldn't use a commercial water supply in its given form to make commercial beers. So all of our beers are carbon filtered. All the liquor is carbon filtered.
So you don't strip the water to nothing. You just carbon filter, but then you'll add phosphates and calciums and things like that as you need it.
Yeah, what you want to do is that, you piggyback onto the water source, and there by law, they have to maintain a certain history, and so you can get that chemical profile.
Mm-hmm.
You get that chemical profile, and you go from there.
Okay. You know, if I had ordered this Pilsner when I came through your brewery instead of the Kolsch, I might have stayed there and let my dog die without me.
this is a screw
the biscuit.
Yeah,
we have a few people on here for a few like that.
I mean, I'm telling you, this Pilsner is so amazing. It's one of the best I've ever had. It's everything I like about that style of beer.
And the other thing, I want to point out, it's easy to drink.
Yeah.
That's the idea of all of our beers. The idea is that have an enjoyable experience. Wow, that was nice, and boy, I'd like another one.
I really would. I would be at your tasting room every day if I lived in Bellingham.
We do have some customers over there right now who are big fans of Pilsner and do come almost every day.
And once again, I genuinely think that if more craft breweries could produce Kolsches and Pilsner of this character and caliber, they'd be far more popular among beer geeks.
Oh yeah, because we know what we like. I mean, the beers that we get, the Pilsners that we get, are skunky and old, and they've come on a boat, and nobody knows how to take care of beer yet. Still, it's 2012, and we have the most educated distributors that we've ever had in the world.
Sure,
and they'll put it on the roof of the car. The truck drives better with all the beer on top of it. They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
No, that's the thing, and actually, up here when we first started, there's resistance because the styles of beer. People have had those flawed beers, and they assume those are the styles of beer.
Right.
And beer is perishable. It's
delicate, more delicate than wine in some ways.
Or scotch,
sure.
Yeah, and so people, when you say you have a Pilsner, they assume, they have no idea. And I tell people, God can come down and he can make a beer someplace else, but by the time it gets to you, it's destroyed.
Yeah.
And there's that lack of understanding. And so what we're trying to do is we try to present the whole world of beer. Mm. You know, in the Northwest, you know, they make wonderful beers, but largely of a similar style, and we're just trying to show, well, the world of beer is much broader than what you've seen for the last 5 years. You know?
Isn't it weird?
And for yourself personally, expand your experience in the world of beer. That's what we're trying to do.
To me, I think it's weird that, you know, in the 40s and 50s, well, maybe not, oh, it was dominated by one particular style, and then in the 80s and the 90s, that's what the craft beer movement was built on, where it's, hey, there's this entire world of beer. Try this and try this. And now we're dominated by one particular style of beer, again, which is the IPA. And now, again, breweries are still being built upon this. Hey, try another beer. There's much more out there, you boring, boring beer drinkers.
Yeah, I agree. There's IPA, there's double IPA, there's triple IPA.
There's session IPA, which is a pale ale, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, you're just depriving yourself if you don't experience the world of beer out there. And, you know, understand the perishability factor, but Lord, we get people who just, you know, they come in and they'll say, I want an IPA, and that's it. And I tell them, well, you know, that's because I guess they understand, they know how to spell that one.
Right, that's a good point.
They can pronounce it.
we do like to take people through the taste. And a lot of times what I'll say is, you know, our beers are the beers that you drink when you're in Europe. They are really here, but it's not the same as the beer in the bottle that travels across the sea, across the land, over to us. We really have a different idea of what that beer style should be tasting like, only because it's that freshness factor.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk, about the malt characters of this beer also. I think you guys are spot on with the freshness, but I just want to bring up, I am also drinking another Pilsner right now from a local brewery to me, which I consider to be a very good Pilsner. And the color is much darker than yours, and kind of more what I'm used to with a Pilsner also. But they are two completely different beers, and I will also say yours is just incredible compared to the other. I was really enjoying my other Pilsner until I had yours, Will.
Yeah, you pretty much ruined it.
Well, that might be your personal preference to it. I'm saying, you know, that other Pilsner might be wonderful. It might be better than our German Pilsner. But you hit upon it. As far as the color, it's a different style of Pilsner.
Okay.
It should be a different style. If it's dark, then it's really not a true German Pilsner.
Yeah, this one's a Czech
style. Another category. A European Pilsner, or you know, there's other styles. So
tell me about the malt. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Will follows the guidelines pretty regularly that the Craft Brewers Association puts out on the beer style category. And there's real specific, colors, the IBUs, the ABVs, all that stuff. And he tries to work within that. So even though he's very creative, he works within, it almost has to be more creative, because he's working within these very strict guidelines, but he's doing it in his own way.
That's a good point, yeah.
And the other thing is that, you know, if you go outside the guidelines, then almost naturally you fall into another category. So
it's true.
Take it from there.
Right. So can you talk to me about the malt profile of your Pilsner here?
Yeah. As far as for the Pilsner, it's used just pale malt. Now, largely it's Weirmann malt, Pilsner malt, but we also use a malt, a very, very slight amount, and to the tune of about 3-4% of what's called Carafoam.
Mm-hmm.
So Carafoam has a bit of color to it, and so we have to be careful, but as a suggestion of the malt type, you know, so the idea of a wonderful Pilsner is that thick head. that thick head.
Yeah.
And so it sits there, you know, assuming you have a good glass, by the way. You know?
Right, yeah.
But it will sit there, and it'll have wonderful lacing. And that's, you know, that's why we have just slight amount of care foam in order to just slightly enhance that capability. If we add more, no. Then you start detracting, because then you start adding color, and the color of the German Pilsner should be a very pale color.
Okay, which it is in this example. Yeah. You know what, guys? We're 5 months into 2012.
Yeah.
This is my beer of the year so far.
Wow.
Yeah. This is my so far my 2012 beer of the year.
Make a note. Make a note of that.
Yeah.
Well, you guys realize that when we do the voting at the end of the year, we need 10 kegs of it.
Yeah. In order to refresh our memory, we're going to need 10 kegs.
Just to decide.
You're going to have to come out here to do that one.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. Let's not push it.
You're going to spend a week at the brewery just sleeping on your brewery floor.
I'm coming to do it.
I'll put you to work.
Yeah. Now, what about the yeast on this, Will? Is this another German import for you?
That is 3470. So 3470 is the most commonly used yeast strain, a lager yeast strain around the world.
I see.
It's a workhorse. So what that does, though, is that similar to the Kolsch or ale strain, it's a very dry characteristic. You know, the idea of so many lager beers is to use a yeast strain that does not produce a lot of high ester content. Now, once again, this still goes to production consideration. So while we talk a lot in terms of yeast, you have to realize that the production will play as much a part of this consideration as just the yeast strain itself. So, yeah, it's 3470. That one, we start lower temperatures. So we come in, and we'll usually have a couple of batches. We might do single batch, but normally we'll do a couple of batches. We'll fill a two-batch tank. And so we'll come in at 46 to 47 degrees Fahrenheit on that, and then we'll have an upper ceiling of 54 degrees on that. Then we go to what's called a diastole rest for a few days, and then we step it down ultimately to 30 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay. So really a lot of standard Pilsner techniques, but there's, man, just the way you've balanced this beer and the different components of this beer must be what's making it stand out.
Well, and once again, it goes to the production conditions. For example, we use cylindro conical tanks, unit tanks, and during the course of production, every few days we'll pull out the yeast that will be at the base, because that doesn't, you know, yeast that's fallen down and once in cold condition, it can't add anything positive.
Interesting.
So conceptually, yeah, you look at their positive and negative flavors associated with what you're trying to do with beer. Mm-hmm. So often negative flavors can mask the very subtle flavors, and it's the subtle flavors that you want to bring out. But if they're completely masked by negative flavors due to your high temperature consideration, autolyzed yeast, and all these, then these subtle things that you want to have, they're not going to come to the palate.
I guess that's the difference between, you know, you get a Pilsner and you use the right malt and it's beautiful and perfumey and whatever, and then the next time you do it, if you mess up in the temp, even a couple degrees,
right?
Maybe that's, exactly. And sometimes you don't get that, and I've never really thought that, those positive flavors were masked. I just figured that they weren't even in there and I did something wrong in the mash, but maybe somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it goes from the milling all the way to the packaging. And so, you know, when I say that, you know, how many steps are involved from milling to packaging? So many. And so you look at whatever step you want to talk about, from your mashing to your lautering to your kettle to your fermentation, heat transfer, all these things come into play. And what happens is each one of these steps, if you have a serious shortcoming to that, you can produce undesirable characteristics that will mask, you know, what's going
on. Right, yeah.
That's it.
Well, and that's why I will never brew a Pilsner like this. I can't pay attention to that many things for that long.
It's impossible. You can blow water like this.
You know? Yeah. That's just wonderful. I'm now afraid to try the alt beer.
Why?
Well, because we've gone from good to great, and if it goes above that, I'm going to be such a disappointed beer drinker for the rest of the night.
What are we going to drink? It's like tomorrow.
I'm going to be so sober after this next beer. I'm afraid.
Maybe it's good for you.
It might be. Now, a beer that we don't have, but that the chat room is asking about, so there must be some locals or people that have passed through, is a Vienna lager. Do you guys do a Vienna as well?
Yeah, that one is something, as I, you know, as I said, that is, we do a wonderful Vienna lager. It's not any place where I want it to be yet, though. So there's some characteristics. And by the way, I think that goes back to the nature of the malt over the years. We do have variability, even from big malt supply companies. So it's understanding that. So the Vienna lager, you know, that's one of my favorite beers as well, and it has a very good following. And that beer, what it is it's you know, maybe not obviously, but it uses a lot of Vienna malt in it, but also a malt called Cararoma in it. It's a Cararoma that has Cararoma, as it suggests. It has both a flavoring as well as a roasting quality that comes through. So the Vienna lager is a beer that what happens is that it's a copper bronze beer and has certain good malt, true malt characteristic. The malt, Vienna malt, is basically a malt made at just slightly higher temperature than conventional, you know, Pilsner malt. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is that we try to add a little bit more with Cararoma, and that gives slightly more color, but a bit more roasting quality. So actually, we're packaging up some this week. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm looking forward to having some of that. We're trying a couple of things. The other thing, what we're trying to do on that is that had a very intense malting quality to the bouquet. And so what I'm wanting to do on that, I'm thinking I'm going to slightly change it a bit more using a certain hop out of to give a bit more bite at the end.
JP, do you know,
sir,
of the is Cararoma in the homebrew world?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called for us too?
Yeah.
So at More Beer, we can go get Cararoma in general, or
Cararoma specifically. I'm not sure, but yeah, all the malts are always going to be the same.
They are
the
same name. Because I've not heard of the Cara. I've heard of the other Caras, but not the Cararoma.
You know, I think in homebrewing, things are still evolving from older recipes, and homebrewers are, as much as we want to experiment, we're kind of stuck using the same malts, trying to do the same stuff.
Okay, but so, that one is available to us.
Yeah, it's available, okay, but I don't think it's really well used yet. There's a lot of people that do it, but people go, oh, that's a newfangled malt. I don't need that. I still got my thing, and you know the whatever. So,
and it's a malt you should be somewhat judicious in its usage, because, like I said, it can be a bit intense, but under a controlled amount, I personally think gives really positive characteristics.
I, at the SoCal Homebrew Fest, a friend down there gave me a Vienna lager, which was also fantastic. And I was telling him that this is yet another style that I think is underdone in the U.S. It's such a, another one that I think could be immensely popular because of its color and its multi-character, yet lager qualities. I think that beer people, even not beer nerds, but just people, you know, regular kind of people who aren't beer nerds like us, would love this style, but we don't brew it here.
No, well, Alaskan Amber is the only alt that I know.
Well, alt. We're talking Vienna, though. We haven't talked this alt yet.
Yeah. Oh, I thought this was the alt.
That is the alt, but we're talking Vienna.
Oh, sorry.
Supposedly, Dos Equis Amber is a Vienna lager.
Yeah, it's
is the most well-known Vienna lager right now in the world, actually, because it's really not brewed very much in the world.
Yeah.
Even in Europe, you don't find it very much.
And it's unfortunate. And I will have that beer, by the way. If I'm looking for a Vienna lager, I'll order that, especially if it's on tap. If it comes out of a keg, it's a pretty nice beer. But it is unfortunate that is our go-to Vienna, because it's a wonderful style that just disappeared at some point.
So would you say that you don't drink beer often, but when you do.
I drink Dos Equis. I guess I would
say thirsty, my friend.
Yeah, you become a commercial.
I guess I would say that.
I drink beer all the time,
but
when I try to not, shit, I can't get it to work.
Right. Okay, well, the folks, the listeners, just they did want me to ask you about the Vienna, because they said they love it. You know,
all right. Yeah, I should pay attention.
It's popular in Seattle as well. We can't keep it in stock down there.
Yeah, our dilemma, like a lot of breweries these days, are, you know, the Pilsner and the Kolsch. They just, you know, if we just made Pilsner and Kolsch, everybody, our distributors and accounts would be happy. But we try to diversify more so. And fortunately, we're getting more tanks into more than 50% capacity, and they should arrive this month, really.
Wonderful.
So we'll have a lot more beer, but that's been our dilemma, is that, being able to diversify our product line to make these wonderful beers like Vienna Lager and Rauch beer and Dunkel and some of these beers.
Yeah.
And additionally, the other thing I want to point out, by having more tanks, the other dilemma, as a brewer, you know, you want the best presentation for your beer. As a brewer, the beer goes out and it's sold as soon as we make it. That I prefer to be able to sit a bit longer, but there's a lot of pressure on our beers, and so we're trying to be, you know, very conscientious of it. But once we get the new tanks in, it's going to help that way too.
Tell me, we're getting some Chuckanut beer at BNA 7.
Oh,
please!
They haven't started the brewery contacting yet because we don't have the licensing.
Can they be first?
Well, in fact, that does lead me to a question here from the chat room. So we're going to the National Homebrewers Conference in Seattle in June.
Wonderful, yeah.
And every year, the Brewing Network has its anniversary party. It follows the conference. We always do it the Wednesday night just before the conference. So we're going to be at Elysian this year.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And we basically put on a small beer festival for our listeners who go to the conference, and as JP is saying here, oh boy, would we love for you to pour your beer there.
It sounded more like a demand.
Well, what time of year?
It's June 20th.
We are going to be at the American Homebrew Conference.
Wonderful.
Actually, they're going to bring up a group. If you want to come on the tour, sign up for that. They're going to bring them up on June 19th.
Oh, great.
They're going to come up to Bellingham, and they're going to visit our place and then our neighbor's Boundary Bay, maybe. I don't know if they're going to visit the new Kolschen Brewery, which is also in Bellingham now.
Okay.
It might be another brewery. But on the 21st, we'll be brewing for the pro brewers. And Brian, our lead brewer, is going to lead a little talk on home brewing lager beer.
Wonderful.
So we'll be there for a lot of that festival.
Okay, well, I love it. My beer person for our anniversary party might be contacting you to see if we can get a keg to pour at the anniversary party.
Just get hold of us.
Okay.
We'd be happy to. If the beer is here, our problem is, like Will was saying, we run out of beer. So
completely understood.
Beer, you know, be a great thing.
Well, also, I wanted to point out, this news flash just came in. We've opened your alt beer. I've put my house on sale, and I'm moving to Bellingham, Washington.
It's already gone. I'm already drinking.
Yeah, me too.
Now, that one, as you can see, that's a bit more hoppy to it.
It is. It's a bit more hoppy,
yes.
All three of these beers that we've had have such a wonderful fermentation and attenuation that the hop comes through
much.
And the malt comes through on this one.
That one especially.
That one, but yeah, it's very complex, but not to the point of, once again, being overbearing. That particular beer. Well, and the other thing I want to point out, that the alt, it uses Spalt Select for that hop, that aroma you get there.
The Spalt Select. Okay, I've never smelt that hop. I might have had it in a beer but...
That's a classical hop for alt.
Okay.
I don't think it's super common. I know you can get it at places.
No,
but
you can't.
Actually, there's an interesting thing in Germany, is for the hop growers in Germany, and the Spalt folks are very small and very, very independent.
Okay.
And they're not joining. We just found this out, actually, at the World Beer Cup. They don't want to join a group because they're not going to join the German Hop Association or something like that, because they don't want that. They don't want to lose that particular hop or change it in any way. They want to keep it as an original.
Okay.
How German is that?
Right. Keep it pure, everybody. Come keep on. It pure.
Just slightly.
What I like about this alt is, I mean, some of the alts I've had before, and again, like Justin was saying earlier, it's kind of not really, I don't want to say ruined alt beers for me, but it made me realize that alt beers that I've had before are missing kind of a richness. And drinking this beer, I get more of a caramel, like a darker caramel flavor that is kind of perfect. It matches really well, and that's the flavor that I wish that some of the other alts I've had.
Yeah.
Sure. You know?
And the other thing, you know, contrasting it with the other beers you guys had, you know, the Pilsner and the obviously the Kolsch, wow, you know, they're very different, you know.
So, yeah. It was a good combination of beers Will sent out.
He really did, yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
He stacked the deck on this one.
Yeah.
You know, I think what happens with alt beers that this one is really showcasing how to do it right is alt beers can become very muddled and all the different flavors can kind of stick together. This beer, I think it's really the layers of it, the layers of the complexity.
Yeah, the complexity.
It starts out when you first take a drink of it, there's a little sweetness there, there's a little bit of perfume, a little flower to it, and then it turns into, the aftertaste does turn into the caramel, and for me, it's even a little toffee, you know, that caramel that JP was talking about.
Sure. Yeah.
It's really a very all of the flavors stand on their own. And kind of, you can get them all over the course of your palate, rather than, I just think that a lot of alt beers can get muddled. And, Will, I'd like to ask you if, to me, that's, I think a big part of that is fermentation and attenuation. And I wonder what you think about how to separate all those flavors.
No, that's totally it. You know, from my way of thinking as well. You know, I talked the muddled aspect, you know, what we were talking before. There are positive and negative flavors. The idea is to look at your brewing scheme, try to recognize where negative flavors come about. If you can, you know, and they will throughout the brewery. If you, you know, you can't eliminate them, but the point is you can make them inconsequential. You can make them where they're irrelevant. That's the key, is to look at all your entire brewing process, get those negative flavors out, and then the positive flavors will come through.
Got it. That's such a great approach that I don't think we've talked about on this show. We're always talking about what to add. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a wonderful way to look at your beer. What do you remove?
What do you take away?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, everybody in the brewing industry and homebrew, we all know how beer is made. We all know about malt and hops. Yeah, they have variability there. But what makes a difference between good and bad beer? And you have to understand, there are good beers and there are bad beers.
Sure.
And it's not, you know, everybody understands the game. We all know what's going on. And so it's a matter of, okay, applying what you know and... to make great beer.
And I think that, you know, there's good and there's bad, and then there's the really standout great beers, and I think that's Will's attention to detail. I mean, like you said, really picking out from the crush of the grain to stuff we've talked about, but really focusing on every single part of it is the difference between a good beer and a great beer, too, you know.
Yeah, it's in the details.
Yeah, and then once a beer comes, you know, once you have a finished beer... Be critical. Be critical of that beer, or try to get criticism to the negative aspect, and then you can. And that's the other thing too, is everybody is different. Everybody is obviously unique in their sensitivities. You know, they're the science of taste, the science of flavors. You know, they're non-sensitive and the hypersensitive flavors, you know, that's a range. But the point is, what you might want to do is that to have different input, because you might be insensitive to certain things like DMS or diastol or things like that. Those are key ones. Some people are hypersensitive to that. But and by the way, that's the other thing too. When you work as a commercial brewer, you don't brew for yourself. You brew for the people. So try to get input as far as what people. Yeah, you won't please everybody all the time, but that's the nature of the beast.
I like hearing you say that. You know, we also applaud brewers who come in and say, well, I brew what I like. We brew for ourselves, and that ends up giving us a product the public like. And I can applaud people for that. But it's nice to hear you say, well, like, look, I'm a public brewery, so I brew for the people, you know.
Yeah, which is why we have our British IPA that we brew, our British style IPA. But, you know, when people come in to the pub, we say to them, well, look, we specialize in these kinds of beers, and we take them through all the tastes, and then guess what they order?
Right.
Something that they haven't had, usually.
No, yeah. No, they don't. They order the IPA.
Right.
That's why I don't go to the restaurant too often.
Yeah, Will's like, F this. I'm going back to the brewery.
You guys need to, you need to post one of those signs that we reserve the right to refuse IPA service to anyone.
Well, actually, right now, we don't have any IPA on just because we ran out of it.
And right.
It'll come on Tuesday, but, you know, we go without having IPA on. Usually.
Well, let me point something out to our listeners, just in case anybody wants to produce beer like this, or is frustrated, maybe a little concerned that they couldn't do this. Let me point out that, you know, Will's really put in the time. He's got his Bachelor of Science in Chemical Engineering. Then he went to Siebel. He was in the first Master Brewers program at UC Davis. So none of this is an accident. And you can tell, by the way, he's talking about beer, too.
Right.
But this isn't an accident to make beer like this. You got to put in the time. You know?
You can get the knowledge from, you know, being a keg washer and learning, you know, as you work in a brewery and pick up some information. But
yeah.
If you're trying to make beers as clean as that Pilsner, you need to know kind of what you're doing, just a little bit.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and he did also teach brewing engineering as well. So
okay.
He's no dummy.
Yeah, and the students actually had the roughest, you know, his classes were the most difficult. But actually, the engineering is one of the more difficult aspects of the brewing process.
Sure.
And I think some brewers don't even realize how important it is how you actually move the beer from one tank to the next,
mm-hmm.
and how you use the refrigeration. And, you know, there's these little tiny techniques, and those are those engineering techniques that are really important to the quality of the beer that you're producing.
And Mari, that kind of brings up a good question for Will, that you know Mari telling us all the breweries that you've built. I can imagine that your brewery, maybe you consider it the perfect brewery. All your experience, all the places you've built, did you really just go, okay, I'm taking all of that knowledge and building exactly my perfect brewery?
I'm getting to that point.
Yeah.
The brewery we set up here is one of the most sophisticated small breweries in the world. It's computer controlled, not for the sole sake of automation and ease. It's computer controlled because it's a tool that gives such precision and capability to make better beer. That's
right.
The way I look at the PC capability there.
Mm-hmm.
So when we set up, unfortunately, you know, Mari and I owned this entire thing, so we weren't wealthy. So we had to kind of pick and choose. But one thing is that, you know, like all of our system, we use pneumatic valves, and so the valves, I had to kind of choose. And fortunately, there's eBay, and so some. I don't buy valves from suppliers. I buy because I know what I want. And so, like eBay, you know, I could get sanitary valves, you know, sanitary butterfly valves that would cost $500 easy. I tend to get them for $50 each.
Nice.
So understanding where, you know, what is necessary, that's a key. It has to produce it. But, you know, a valve is a valve, pneumatic valve, sanitary. And so, that was how the brewery was somewhat put together. Now we're expanding, and what's exciting is that there are some things in our, especially in our milling situation, that I want to address in our liquor situation. And so, no, we're going to get better on that, too.
Wow.
And those slight improvements in the system will make a slight improvement in the product, too, I believe.
I bet. Now, Doc, see, he's kind of a brewer after your own heart. He knows what he's looking for, so he can just go get it. If it doesn't have to come from the brewing supply company that marks it up,
no.
You know.
Oh, I do the eBay outlet, too.
Yeah.
If
you're on a tight budget, it's a good way to go.
Sure. Well, like Will said, it makes all the sense in the world. If you know the valve you're looking for, a valve is a valve.
Yeah.
If it serves the same purpose, you know. So
yeah, and the other thing is like the computerization. When I first used it when I was in Istanbul, and I had some, I was watching technicians doing their thing, and I realized I could do it. So when I came back to America, I became certified in the PC capability, and so we did a lot of this in house. But the thing is, it's like any computer program. It's really what's going on today. Can you imagine doing a word processing program or not using word processing? So computers are a point where they're with us forever. They do positive things, take advantage of the positive things.
Yeah, like porn. Yeah.
One thing this brewery didn't have and what we had originally planned was a bottling line. And we were very sad that we didn't get our bottling line.
Yeah.
And part of that was due to the bank and the times. We actually opened just as that financial crisis hit.
Oh,
so
right.
There were a lot of negative aspects that we had to overcome in the economic, financial scene. While we were building our brewery. So that is something for the future that we definitely have our sights on, and hopefully it'll be within maybe a year to 2 years. We'll be at the point where we can get that bottling line, maybe even a canning line that's actually, you know, something where we can package our product so people can actually enjoy it. Like, that was the reason we didn't even know if we had it to send to you.
Right.
Because we don't bottle our beer. It's only in kegs.
Well, you keep making this caliber of beer, and you're going to get all those things. You're going to keep selling every drop.
Right.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks for the positive thought.
Oh, it's you know, I got a whole fridge full of really good beer that I'm not going to enjoy for the next couple days. You guys have ruined me.
I'm not going to wash my glass. I'm going to smell my glass for a week.
If you like it, that's the bottom line of why we make beer.
Nah, it's really great. I sure hope that my other dog isn't sick when I come up for NHC. Because I want
your other dog is sick now.
I want to stick around and try some more beer at the brewery. I don't want to have to bail.
You only have sick animals.
We have really good food here, too, actually, by the way.
You didn't send any of it, so I don't know.
The quality of it.
Okay, well, that helps. I'll need food with all with all the Pilsner I'm going to drink. You know. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you both.
Yes.
Will, excuse me, before I let you go.
He's all choked up.
I did have a question come through, and I'll tell you, we always do get this question, and it might put you on the spot, but...
How tall are you?
Somebody...
How tall am I?
No.
Well, people want a recipe. Homebrewers want a recipe for the Vienna that you talked about, or the Alt. Either one would make, and even if it's not your recipe exactly, if you were able to throw out like this percent of that, and then use this hop, if you could do that,
I'm only going to give you a percentage because you know. Otherwise, I'd have to do the math.
No, that's perfect.
Yeah, we don't like math either, so it's fine.
Okay, so for a Vienna lager, you want to we use approximately 80% of Vienna malt, approximately 18% of Pilsner malt, and the rest Caro Aroma.
Okay. And hops?
And the hops, you know, the hops really don't come through much. So we use as far as, I'll give you an IBU of approximately 25 for that particular beer.
Mm-hmm.
And the hops, we use combination of Hallertau Tradition, Hallertau Parallel, and Tettnanger.
Hmm. Okay.
Man, you are super German.
Well, it's just for that particular beer, you know, Judas style.
Right. And
it's good.
Well, the question came through that do you use the same yeast for all your lagers? But I think we've already answered that. You use different yeast for each style, don't you?
No. Use the same ale yeast for the ales. We use the same lager yeast for the lagers.
Oh, you do? Okay.
The reason being here, and so, for example, the ales, and then the ales we do,
For example, the IPA in particular, so we don't get the esterification like we do, like a lot of ales would have. So we have to complement that with a lot of the various specialty malts in order to try to, you know, get certain flavor profiles. The dilemma here is that it really goes back to that original question about the yeast, and what happens is we have to farm the yeast. And so looking at the quality of the yeast, that's so critical, I believe. So what happens is as we get yeast in and we propagate it up and we get it into a pitching state, and then we want to maintain it at an optimum state. And the dilemma here is that for a small brewery like herself to keep on having yeast strains come in and work with that, then they aren't necessarily at optimum states at the beginning, and certainly if you have to store them, then that makes a lot of difficulties. So it's kind of a compromise in that. So instead of working with different yeast strains, we choose to work with same yeast strains in order to optimize those particular strains versus being faced with potential limitations with other strains.
Sure, makes sense.
Yep.
Okay. And
that works for us.
You did talk about your lager yeast. What is your ale yeast, if you don't mind?
That's a secret.
Ah.
That's the one that came from Germany, remember?
It's called the Kolsch.
It's called Will Kemper Ale, by the way.
Aha, okay, great.
And it's a proprietary yeast.
It's a proprietary yeast.
Sorry.
Oh, that's fine by me. That's all right. I have to ask the questions. You're entirely allowed to say no. It doesn't bother me. Well, you guys have been great, and thank you so much for bottling up some beer and sending it to us. It helps the interview along, and obviously, it helped our palates along too.
Well, it's going to hurt you later in the week.
Yeah, ruined yours.
Well, now, and I remember, you know, we broadcast the Great American Beer Festival awards every year, so we're always there.
Uh-huh.
And I remember sitting there just seeing Chuckanut. In fact, you guys won small brewery of the year, brew pub of the year, a couple of times over. And now I know to go hang out at your table at the JABF.
Did we talk about
definitely stop by?
Did we talk about the origin of the name?
Oh, it's a local thing, right? Chuckanut.
Chuckanut is a beautiful drive along Chuckanut Mountain and Chuckanut Bay, and so because our beers are so beautiful, and it's actually where our home is located, we just said let's call it Chuckanut. So
nice,
but it's also a fun name to say.
It's kind of East Coast.
It is.
I don't know why.
It's
East Coast because of the Native American sound, too.
I think it means where the tide goes out. There's lots of mud flats along Chuckanut.
Got it. Okay. I like
so
it.
That's
it,
for
it
the
is,
Indian name.
It is fun now that you point it out. I didn't know what I liked about the name, but now that Mari said it, it's because it's just fun to say. Well, very cool, guys. Thank you for spending time with us. And we really appreciate it. And I wish you luck. I especially wish you luck so that you can get a bottling line and distribute this in our direction.
We would love to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You would be one of the first to have it.
I would love it.
Come by. Oh, definitely come visit us when you're here in the Northwest.
I'm going to try to do that, but I will tell you this, that someone from the BN will be bugging you to see if we can get some of your beer at our anniversary party that week during the national conference. And we understand if you sold out, but I sure would love to ask, and you'll be among good company. We're doing it at Elysian.
We like Elysian.
And we're trying to get, you know, what we try to do is bring up a couple breweries from our location, because our listeners hear about them all the time, but then we focus on the region as good as we can. So we'll have some good other breweries. You'll be in good company. But we'll bug you about that. And otherwise, I guess we'll see your brewer at the conference giving a talk, too.
Well, once again, our head brewer, Brian Cardwell, is there. And my other assistant, Michael Toombs, you know, they do virtually all the brewing these days, fortunately. So I want to point that out.
That's a nice thing for you to do. Yeah.
They're actually going to be the people pouring the beer at Pro Brewer Night, so people can talk to them and ask questions of them as well.
Great. Now that we know that they're brewing the beer, we won't give them too much shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks again for your time. And hello to everybody at the Chuckanut Brewery there. I know you guys were maybe doing a little listener party, so if that worked out, hello to the Chuckanut Brewery.
Party!
And hope you guys are having a good night. And know that if you're an employee of Chuckanut, you are doing God's work. This beer was wonderful. Yeah.
Oh, thanks so much.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good night. Cheers.
Okay, you too. See you later. Cheers. Bye-bye.
There you go. Mari and Will Kemper of the Thomas Kemper fame, but now of Chuckanut fame, as far as I'm concerned.
From this time forward. Never mind the two-time award-winning whatever. It's from now on.
From now on.
Yeah. This is where their legacy is built.
You know, people have, several people have told me, go, you got to go have their beer. And that's why I stopped by there on the way down. Obviously, I couldn't stay. But, you know, sometimes you hear it and you're like, yeah, I don't know. They're just, they're way up there. And you're just a little skeptical when people talk so much about a brewery that you've never heard of. I don't know. Just I'm a dick that way, maybe. But boy, were they right.
Yep.
I mean,
is the one time.
Right. I mean, can you guys think of anything wrong with those three beers that we had?
We don't have more.
that's a huge problem.
That's about it. One bottle for five people.
I think I've said it last time we had a brewery like this that we had just discovered on the show that blew our mind. I love that part of this gig. Like getting to try a brewery that we may not have ever tried if people didn't push us to go to it. And now we're like, oh, every time I ever pass through that area, I will get Chuckanut.
It kind of reinvigorates your you know, feelings about the industry. You know, you say, oh, how many different pale ales can there be?
Mm-hmm.
Or how many different pilsners? Oh, good, here's a pilsner. Or, I mean, obviously I say about IPAs, but I'm an asshole.
You know, I want to try his IPA.
I kind of, I would actually do it because it's so, because everything else is so spot on.
Sure.
And there's, you know, 2,000 breweries or whatever in the United States.
Right.
And there's, you know, there's gems everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're doing it really, really well at Chuckanut. They're doing a really good job.
That pilsner. I thought I'd be talking about the Kolsch all night, and then I got to that pilsner.
Yeah.
God damn it.
It's like the girl. It's like your first girlfriend that really puts out. You know, I didn't want to stay on the air because I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. But like,
we're off air now.
Oh, that's
fine.
And then, we're on break.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, you go out with the next couple girls, and they're just kind of like prudes or they're stupid or whatever. You're like, man, you know, I really missed Alice. God, she was good.
That pilsner's your Alice.
Yeah,
now.
You know.
Wow, it's
you
such
get
a,
wet every time you think about
such
it.
A good beer.
Alice. What decade
know.
Are you hooking
I
up?
I just
with
made
women?
It up. I don't know.
Okay.
All right. Heard that word before.
We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we've got an Alabama legislator follow up.
Alabama.
We'll do that. I don't know how we're gonna do Drunk of the Week this week, but hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. Brewing Network. A vial of White Labs yeast is the key to your best beer. When you open a vial of White Labs yeast, you're giving your beer its best chance for a perfect fermentation. In addition to their already incredible variety of yeast, White Labs is proud to announce WLP-90, San Diego Super Yeast, now available year-round. WLP-90 is super clean, super fast fermenting, with low esters and has a neutral flavor and aroma profile. It's alcohol tolerant and highly flocculent. For more of the latest White Labs news, click over to whitelabs.com, where you can read reviews of yeast, learn in the lab section, and join the customer club. And if you should find yourself in San Diego, White Labs has a brand new training facility for craft brewers and home brewers alike. whitelabs.com. Discover yeast, nutrients, enzymes, and more for commercial breweries, home brewers, and homebrew stores. White Labs. It's all in the vial. By popular vote from the Northwest Brewing News, HopTech has been voted the best homebrew shop in Northern California. Serving homebrewers for nearly 30 years in Dublin, California, HopTech carries more than 40 different kinds of hops and more than 60 different grains. Malt extract, spices and sugars, hop oils and extracts. Open every day except Wednesday or shop online anytime at hoptech.com or call 1-800-DRY-HOPS, 1-800-379-4677. With in-store classes almost every Saturday, huge selection
selection and a dedicated commitment to their customers, HopTech is one of the longest running and passionate homebrew stores, period. And now, by popular vote, the best homebrew shop in Northern California.
And don't forget their 15% military discount.
HopTech. Visit today at HopTech.com.
When Blickman Engineering set out to design a great brewing stand, they knew it had to be strong, adaptable, and last for a lifetime. The top-tier brewing stand is now proudly available at BlickmanEngineering.com. It grows with your brewing skills and equipment. Start with 5-gallon coolers on its heavy-gauge stainless steel shelves. Then move all the way up to 30-gallon pots on the high-output burner tiers. Speaking of burners, the custom Blickman Engineering top-tier burners are extremely powerful, efficient, and amazingly quiet. They have safety stops to center your pot, and they'll last a lifetime and won't rust. The top-tier brewing stand allows virtually infinite combinations from traditional gravity systems to two tiers to completely horizontal. Configure your stand the way you want and have the freedom to change it at any time in the future. Your brewing stand should adapt with you, not force you to learn a new process. Visit BlickmanEngineering.com today to configure your top-tier brewing stand and to find a local Blickman retailer. You'll be surprised with all the flexible features and the competitive price. Start brewing with Blickman from the top tier.
That's it. I've had it. I am never putting hops in my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contract, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small, single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special Secret Elite Bare Bones Club, where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. NikoBrew. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
100 grain amber recipe, and I'm going to eat it. And then it can ferment in my gut. It totally works. The beer is almost identical to the grain sandwich.
Your colon won't know what hit it.
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to The Session.
It's 888-401-BEER.
This is The Session.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for sticking with us, and thanks to Chuckanut Brewery for being on the program and sending beer.
And being on the program.
And, oh, man, I'm trying to enjoy another beer.
Yeah, right, you're drinking water right now. What's going on?
You know what? I was like, F it. I'm going to switch all the way over to an IPA right now because I can't. I'm not going to compare with that.
No.
I was telling
beers like that, man.
You know, Doc and I at the break just kept talking about the beers and how good they are. And I was like, I didn't want to sound like I was blowing the guy, but there was nothing else I could say except for how amazing that the beer was flawless.
They're a great example of those beer styles. I mean, you could just go off of those. This is what it's supposed to be.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They should be listed on the BGCP guidelines. Yes. That's a classic example of the style.
Yeah. And also, just even him talking about how that's how he discovered the styles. He didn't go inventing those styles. He figured them out in Germany. Yeah. And then figured out he needed the yeast from Germany. And then, so all of it is, they're classic examples in the truest sense, not just how they taste, but how he developed them. He didn't just go, I'm going to create a Kolsch. He created a traditional Kolsch.
Or even the German Pilsner. It's hard to get that quality or that kind of, just the balance of it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the characteristics of it, the sharpness of it, the clean, a little bit of breadiness into it.
Yeah.
But it was all there.
And I'm telling you, I have had Pilsners in Germany at the brewery that makes them that weren't as good as his Pilsner.
Yeah, and it's shipped, and they don't bottle, and so...
Yeah. Yeah.
We got them in bottles, so they must have hand-bottled them for us.
Hand-bottled, and I guess he's got them down to Moscow real quick. Wonderful, wonderful brewery. Go check out Chuckanut up there in Bellingham, Washington, until they can bottle and get it to a neighborhood near you. What a treat. Good job, Moscow.
Yeah, thanks. It's funny, my folks live up there, and my dad was like, yeah, who'd have known that such an award-winning, so many accolades, right here in little old Bellingham. Mm-hmm. And I said, they can't all be in Brussels.
Right.
You never know where you're going to find it.
Well, it sounds like a little brewing sprout going on there, because there's Boundary Bay, which I did go to, and that was pretty good. And then there's another brewery that Mari was mentioning.
Yep.
So... That's a nice little town to be in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little town. I mean, I drove through it. It's spread out a bit. It's a really cool area. It's a nice town. It's really cool. But it's, population-wise, I think it's pretty kind of small.
Yeah, it is. Huh. And it's kind of in a weird little no man's land north of Seattle, but south of Vancouver.
Yeah. So what else are you going to do but find good beer, I guess.
Or make good beer.
Yeah, really?
Well, I loved having him on the program, and I just wanted to thank him again. And, we don't give accolades like that all the time. You really earned it, Will and Mari. Good job. Yeah. What's our Twitter game? I know you announced it over Twitter because I passed right over it.
I did. The Twitter game is, recently Netflix has been adding a lot of cartoons. And one thing that's bringing me back to my past is they put the first incarnation of G.I. Joe.
Oh, I gotta watch that.
So that's why you were asking me about G.I. Joe last week.
From 1983. It's only one season. First season was 10 episodes, and then I went on the internet and found, first season has like 40 episodes, but they only have 1 through 10 on Netflix. But anyway.
And you needed something to do the next day?
I needed something to do the next day, and then so I downloaded the movie, and like, it was real good, and
played with some action figures.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
So I was kind of thinking, what G.I. Joe would I be,
What G.I. Joe would JP be?
But that's not the game. The game is what G.I. Joe would you be, and why? I always like to know why you want to know, why you would do something.
Okay.
Especially over Twitter, because then it's not like, I think mainly women don't play because they can't do it all in 140 characters.
I see. Women be talking, right?
women be typing. They'd be all typing and shit
on Mother's Day.
I don't want to hear from the woman that's named a G.I. Joe.
Well, Scarlett was pretty hot.
What about G.I. Scarlett was hot?
Yeah, but Joe.
I'm glad that it's true. What G.I. Joe would you be, not what would JP be, because clearly it's Destro. I mean, everybody knows that you'd be Destro.
I would be Destro or Cobra Commander, because he was kind of pathetic.
Right.
Desperado.
Destro was really the top in that.
He was top pathetic.
Well, Cobra Commander, I think, was the power bottom.
That's true.
And like Destro was really, and then Baroness, of course. And
right.
She was smoking hot. But
for a cartoon.
All right.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the Twitter game. What G.I. Joe would you be and why?
Okay.
And we got a lot of good responses so far.
And, you know, in cleaning out the Studio A, JP found lots of cool prizes that we've had around to give away. So
that's true.
You do want to participate in the Twitter game because JP does send out prizes.
Sort of, I do. And as soon as we set up our shipping, I can get to the backlog.
Right.
Yeah.
So are you totally out of the other house?
No.
No.
He never will be.
I'm totally out of all the rooms in the house. I now am taking up about half of a garage and a bunch of junk on the side yard that I got to get
that's
out.
That's normal, though, that side yard's tedious.
But I've cleaned that side yard 3 times during this move. It just keeps getting more in it. Some of it's not junk. There's some furniture I got to get here. I will tell you this. I was saying at the beginning, JP and I spent hours and hours this week moving. And Friday was rough because it was the end of a lot of hours and a lot of week. And I'm there at about, I had gotten there about 9 a.m. It's now about 10 p.m. And there's still all these like small things. There's a small thing here. There's a small thing. There's about 150 small things. And I just was hating my life. I was fed up. I was tired. And I couldn't imagine that I have so many things left to do. This has been going on, it feels like, for months. And I was, at one point, I was like, you know what? F it. I'm sorry. But the landlord's like a friend. I know him, so I can't stick him with anything. But I really, at one point, I was like, I can't do it. I can do no more. I'm out. Deal with anything that's here. I'm out of here.
Yeah, just hose it down.
I was about to give up. JP, in the beginning, I laughed. In the end, I was like, you're a genius. He kept saying, just burn it down, dude.
Burn it down, dude.
Just light a match. And in the end, I'm like, JP, you're so funny. By Friday afternoon, I was like, you should just burn it down.
Should have burned it down, dude.
Just,
to the ground.
Pull out some of those wires over there and put some newspaper next to them. And let's just burn it down.
Your landlord's got insurance, right?
Yeah, he's got insurance. Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Probably be doing him a favor.
Yeah, well, and really, how badly do you need that desk from IKEA? You don't. You know what I mean?
Think of all the germ factor that place is. burn it down would do him a favor.
Well, first of all, so we had to pull the carpet out of Studio A.
Because
it's the garage.
It's the garage, yeah.
And you want to talk about stains.
Oh,
I swear, it was like a Jackson Pollock. It was like just stain, like small stain after large stain after medium sized stain, all different colors.
You could tell
and
which ones
breathing all that crap in. It was gross.
You could tell which ones were biscuit stains and which ones were Doc spilled his beer stains. You know, by the size of them.
Dan Gordon sweat stains.
It was very strange to see the garage transition back into a garage.
I've never seen it any other way.
Oh, that's true. I hadn't met you. I remember I had thankfully forgotten the process of building that studio because it was a bitch. but I remembered it as I was tearing it down, and there was really a lot went into it to get all the soundproofing up and also to try my best to make it look somewhat like a studio. I mean, I know we didn't fully succeed, but I didn't want guys like Doc, who I just met, or even our guests like Dan Gordon coming in there and going, oh, great, some kid's got a hobby. Some retard's got a radio hobby that I have to sit through.
You did succeed, though. I mean, you were doing that in 2005. I mean, that had to be the best example of a home studio that existed in 2005.
I think maybe it was. I guess just it's in hindsight. I look at it and I go, oh, God, it was like a clubhouse.
I remember Dan Gordon even saying, you know, I've been in professional studios that were shittier than this.
That's true. He did say that.
He's also a liar.
And a good one. But tearing it down, I mean, and seeing that the... I mean, you didn't even know that there was a garage door in there. It was completely covered with soundproofing. So pulling all that away, it was very strange. And I didn't leave a mark. I mean, the garage looks flawless. It looks exactly like when I moved in. It was all a very temporary, well-done mess.
Probably the cleanest part of the house.
Yeah, I think so.
You're not far from the truth.
Actually, that and Studio D were the cleanest parts of the house. Our studios were the only thing that we really kept pristine.
Yeah. I'll tell you what wasn't the cleanest part of the house was where Schumann and Chu Light used to live.
Oh, God. All right. So, no, I'm not completely out. I got to go back tomorrow and probably the next day and probably the next day. And then, after all that, the whole studio sitting in a pod in the driveway, it then has to be moved to...
somewhere.
To somewhere. So, I'm feeling much better today. We got to relax yesterday and have a good time with some friends. And, of course, I love doing the radio show, but... If I start thinking about it like I was on Friday, there's no end in sight. My life is a constant move right now. It's move box here, move box there, move ding, move.
It's a good thing you've got Kate the Great looking after you. Otherwise, you're liable to just get in the Westie and head up to Chuckanut and, you know, call it a life.
Oh, there were several moments where I was like, F it.
Screw it. Burn it to the ground and move on, dude.
I'm at it. Don't tell Kate this, but even with the house, like buying a house... It's kind of a commitment. I'm not used to these types of commitments.
You hear that, Scott? It's kind of a commitment.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's not a commitment fully, sort but it's of kind of.
He can't even commit to saying the word commit.
No. I got in my bus. I did get in my bus the other day. I was going to the other house just to move stuff.
Yeah.
But it did cross my mind for just a second. I was like, I could just leave.
Just keep driving.
I could just do what I could do what I do, and I could just keep on going.
So you just miss one exit after the other? That's all you got to do.
I could just go.
Okay, but at that point, I could have left. But no, I can't. I got a house. Next thing, you're married. You go. I could have left.
I could have left.
I'm married.
That, yeah.
And then you're gonna have a kid, and you're gonna go. I could have left.
I know. I did.
I'd be laying in your deathbed, going, "Fuck! I should have left.
Should have left.
I'm gonna leave."
I'm telling you, I still have that. I still have that. Like, I only need a box and a suitcase and my bus
and
in me.
And a sick dog.
And I got a sick dog. I got the bus the other day, and just for like 8 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, stop being a dick.
That's it?
Yeah.
You're getting old, man.
So, yeah. Yeah.
And Westy kept turning onto that on-ramp, huh?
It only turns onto the on-ramp. It's weird.
If Kate was smart, she put a GPS in there.
The tracker.
And like the alarm starts going off as soon as I get 50 miles away.
No, she's got the remote kill switch.
She probably does. Yeah. She probably called Doc already and was like, Doc, listen, I know you helped Justin out a lot. I need a hand. I need a remote kill switch in the V-dub.
Yes, we can hook it up through the internet.
My cousin is a cop out in Antioch. And he, you know, we were talking about speeding cops and going through lights, and he goes, you know, they have all cops have GPSs, but they also have this thing where if they go over some sort of set standard speed, like 50 miles an hour, it'll send an email to the people in charge, his commanders or whatever, that says, you know, this officer is going, you know, over the speed limit, this, you know, 75 or 60, and what the posted speed limit is.
So you can't just tear around town and be a jerk.
Right, exactly. And it's kind of a cool control, but I think, you know, she needs that.
Right.
This is how many exits he went before he turned around to come back home.
Yeah, just to know. Yeah. She's like, why was he in Fresno?
Each day you miss one more exit.
He just went out for hot dogs in Fresno?
They went out for a pack of smoke.
Yeah. And never came back.
Yeah. It's a weird thing sometimes. I'm complaining about the move because it's just so much to do right now. But I'm thankful, and the good things are happening. It's very exciting. I'm happy to be in this place, and I'm excited about where the BN's going to end up. I think that we have another growth spurt in us right now where we're going to be expanding into video and different things.
Yeah.
And, so I'm excited about it, but I, like I said, the level of commitment that's going on right now, I'm not quite used to.
I know, this whole being a human being thing, it's weird.
It blows. I have to not think about it. I talk to my shrink about it is what I do, and he helps me through it.
For free these days, right?
Because I'm too insane to not go to him anymore.
So how does it work when the session ends? It's like, well, bye. Like, you don't hand him a ticket.
No, I know. There was always that. I always feel uncomfortable paying him anyway because it's just a...
It's a weird thing.
It's a weird thing. You're spilling your guts out and then you're, all right, here's money. Here's money for listening to that bullshit.
You want awkward is when I'm paying mine and then he's got to make change.
Oh! Yeah, that is awkward.
He's looking through his desk for some ones and some fives.
That's awkward.
That's awkward.
Yeah, so now it is. He just gets up and... other friends of mine, they're like, come on, you gotta pay him something. That's effed up. And I'm like, hey, look it. I was out. I was done. Yeah. I thought I was done. He's the one who thinks I'm still crazy.
Yeah, you're under no obligation.
No, you are still crazy.
Right.
It's helped out a lot, I can tell.
Maybe he's doing it for the community.
He's
a public service.
Yeah, he lives nearby. It's for the community.
I think Kate just pays him.
Is that what it is?
Tell Justin you're going to do it for free and don't worry, I'll just...
Right. It's the only way he's going to stick it out. And believe me, he needs it.
It's for both of us.
Yeah, it could be. It's public service.
Yes.
Anyway. Okay, a couple of things to get to. I did want to mention, if you're looking for brewing software, and for the DVD that we just did, the Brew Day...
is that a special DVD?
Here at the place. It will be a special DVD. And for the Brew Day, I know that JP used Beersmith to put our recipe into. And you can go
That's
to,
right.
You can go to beersmith.com right now and get your free 21-day trial. And Doc's even transitioned over to Beersmith. And Doc's a slow mover. He, you know, if things work, you got to keep it there. Don't
it's true.
If it's not broken, but you know, we kept talking about it and Doc checked it out and Doc loves it now also. But you get a free 21-day trial, so you got plenty of time to see if you love it.
Well, I was always I didn't want to put the time in to learn a new
thing. Right.
What I want to brew, I want to punch it in and do this, and I know how to use ProMash really well. I've been doing it for 10 years, so I didn't want to put the time in to do the transition to learn it.
That makes sense.
And you know what, It's intuitive. It's real easy.
Sure.
So,
and there's even a bunch of videos about how to use it.
He sends you emails with tips and tricks,
nice,
too.
Nice.
So it could be on a beer style. It could be on... he did one on sparging not too long ago, and it's kind of a fun read.
Yeah. It's good stuff. He has his own... it's Brad's his name. Brad's a good guy. I like him a lot. He has his own podcast. We were on the podcast not too long ago. He interviewed me about the Brewing Network. And you check that out. But there's video tutorials all over the place for how to use it. And so just go check it out. He's a great sponsor of the program. It's a good program to use. It's the only modern brewing software available to homebrewers that's been updated. And it's well worth it. So go to beersmith.com. Check it out.
Yeah, these Twitter responses are pretty good.
Are we getting good ones?
Oh, yeah, we're getting some decent ones.
You're liking it, huh?
Okay. I'm enjoying it.
It'll only mean something to you, though.
It's a good time for me.
So, Moscow, what do I have with this Alabama situation?
Well, our friends in the state legislature over there were kind enough to supply us with some more radio gold.
The Alabama state legislature.
Yeah.
They're really nice that way.
They're fantastic.
Yeah. What was the bill this time? It was about a bottle size, right?
Yeah, bottles or cans, but about the maximum size a beer container can be.
Man, those homebrewers are fucking pushing the limit down there. Just chill out. Wait
no,
a
but they're not even about homebrew.
They are, well,
the first one
we'll
did.
See, but it's not even about homebrew in this case. It's about commercial beer. They want to be able to get gourmet beers in the bigger bottles.
The
as of now, you can't get them. Yeah.
And then,
So they debated a bill that would allow for them to be sold.
Okay. So you want me to just go down the intro here and
intro the bill. You can hear what the bill's about.
All right, here you go.
On page 41 of the calendar, Senate Bill number 294 by Senator Sanford relating to beer containers.
This is a very simple bill. All it does is increases the size of a single beer container that can be sold from 16 ounces to 25.4.
So you can hear our friends in the...
If there's no question, I'd move for passage of VIR.
Yeah, our friends in the peanut gallery are back.
I mean, yeah, it's like for a bigger bottle. Woo! What the hell?
Row.
All right, so that's what it is, and now we're getting some debate out of it?
Yes, well, if you can call it that.
All right, so I guess our first clip here is of Senator Duane Bridges.
Spelled Duane.
It's spelled Duane. It's not Duane.
What
it's D-U-W-A, and then capital W.
Yeah, of course.
A-Y-N-E, Duane. Senator Duane Bridges.
Play for the Niners?
I think so.
And now at halfback, Duane.
I'm going to name my next sick dog Duane. Duane! You can't help but have an accent when you call him.
No.
It's It's impossible.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Chambers, Mr. Bridges.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Was the gentleman formerly a highway patrolman?
Yes, sir.
And as a highway patrolman, did you ever stop anybody that was weaving and you asked them, have you been drinking? And they said, yes, sir, I only had one beer. Has that ever happened?
Yes, sir.
It happened. Well, that beer was a little bitty one.
Actually, most of them say that.
Okay, now they can still say, I only had one beer, but that beer is about this big. This is not right that we should increase the size of that.
Holy
it's
going to
make
shit.
People be able wow. to get drunk quicker because in their mind they're going to say, gosh, I just had one beer tonight. Every night I get off work and I just have one or I only had two beers. And that's all they think about.
See, they think we're stupid.
And yeah. as a cop, you're too stupid to know the difference between one real big beer and one real little beer.
They have such contempt for their constituents.
Law says you can only have one beer.
Yeah, is that what the law says?
You can only drive after having one beer. You have two and you're breaking the law.
Not even that. It's like... that's what the guy was saying. Everybody says they've only had one beer because
right.
that's the standard answer. And as a cop, you were too stupid to realize that they were lying
right.
because you don't drive that way when you've had one beer.
He's really insulting him with
yeah,
that.
He's insulting exactly. him, and he's insulting the entire friggin' state of whatever it is. I don't even know.
Because now, you know, so Senate and politics in general, especially on the Senate floor and yeah. things like that, it's really all about debate. It's debate, and
I just want to hear
it used to be a
talk.
Wonderful. It used to be a wonderful part of politics when true debate happened. I can't imagine this guy sitting down with his yellow pad of paper going, "Oh, this one's good.
This is
going
to burn him."
Now
out.
Listen, because last time I got pulled over, I said I only had one beer. Now, what if my one beer was big? That cop wouldn't even know.
I beat him on a technicality.
I beat him. Yeah, like his debate, his rhetoric is amazing.
Yeah, you can hear he's thinking he's making a fantastic point.
Oh, they did. They did say one beer. Well how about this? Well, mister.
Yeah.
How about if that one bear's 22 ounces? Huh? Got you, fucker.
I rest my case.
You know, most of you guys can't even count to 22.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and, does he think a tub of butter is one serving?
Yeah.
There's a thing called serving size.
How much butter did you put on this?
Just one.
Just one
it's
butter.
Fine. Yeah.
One butter. I only put one butter on
so
it.
So you guys are saying the need to limit the size of butter containers, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's hear what else he has to say. This is still Duane.
The one.
But when you're drinking, what is that? Isn't that a gallon and a half or something like that? What is that?
It's about a pint and a half.
A pint and a half of beer. If it's gourmet beer.
What is that? Like a whole tanker truck you trying to get past?
It's like you doing math, dude.
It's a pint.
Yeah.
A pint.
How big is that? Can you show me?
That is like me doing math.
Yeah.
What is that? Like $1 billion? It's $5.
Yeah.
$5? Yeah.
Oh, so you're saying it's over $1 then?
Yeah. Yeah. Got you,
fucker.
I rest my case again.
All right.
What is that?
About, this
10
is a rich man's
old?
Bill.
This is a rich man's bill.
You're only going for the rich people. They're the ones that afford the gourmet beer. That's what I hear. You know, I'm not for selling alcohol at all. But
wow.
I can't see
that.
You taxing the people anymore just because, you know, it's a gourmet beer. But I just want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, we don't need to increase the size and make it more easier for people to drink more
easier.
And drive more and be more. I can tell you who's going to be buying that. A lot of young people. Just so they can have the big one. They can walk around with
the
big beer.
I thought he said it was for the rich people.
They think that's
right.
going to make them bigger. But it doesn't. And they cause so much heartache. They cause death on the highway. And I can't see us increasing it one bit.
Doesn't this guy have anything else to argue about? Because he didn't read this bill.
You know what?
I don't think any of them do. Look at the health care bill. No one read that.
He's seen the colors drinking them 40s.
And I ain't
happy. I don't know how big a 40 is, but they're big beers.
Yeah, you know they have 40s and tall boys and all that kind of stuff of higher alcohol than a 22 ounce of that beautiful Pilsner we had earlier.
Maybe they don't. Maybe they're not allowed to sell cold 45.
Who knows what this guy's agenda is? Oh, I think he just likes to hear himself talk.
Yeah.
I do love that. This is clearly for the rich folk and also youth.
And it's for the rich and the youth.
Yeah, because you know they're both
two
the same
polar
thing.
Opposites. Yeah. I mean, that's what I hear. By the way, yeah. I'm just, anybody who's looking to go into politics or debate, for that matter, you don't use "that's what I hear" yeah. as an argument. It's not yeah, an argument. Totally. Let's see some facts. Let's come up with an actual argument. If I were to go through any of the debates that I used to have to go to, go, "well, I heard you're a jerk."
Yes, character assassination.
I mean, it's really the same thing as him going, "you know what I don't like about this bill? That guy who presented it is a jerk." Yes. So yes, I vote no on that jerk.
Yeah.
So that's the equivalent of all of his arguments.
I heard that you're really a robot. That's what I hear. Now, yeah. I'd like it to enter entered in as fact that I heard that he is a robot from a gay planet.
That's right.
And he wants to make everybody else have gay robot butt sex.
Right.
That's what I hear. In the middle of the freeway when kids are alive.
That's right. And I'm fairly certain that a larger bottle contributes to all of those behaviors.
Yeah, because, you know, you can't drink two of the small... We drink a six-pack. There's six chances for you to run over... you know, someone's grandma who's lying in the street trying to get some sun.
He wants one big chance to do that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you for sure, he didn't hear it on that newfangled internet.
No.
I think he would outlaw that if he could.
I picked up this cup with a string attached to it this morning, and I heard this bill's for the rich people.
Yeah.
Let's try another one. We've got Republican Senator Kurt Wallace.
This is our old friend Kurt.
All right.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Chilton, Mr. Wallace.
You know, I'm going to ask you the same thing I heard last year about my colleague when he said, "what's wrong with the beer we got?" That's all I want. What's wrong with the beer we got?
Wow.
In my younger days, I have been, you know, I did some things I shouldn't have did. If I could go back and change those, I would, but I can't. But I know that when I was a drinking fella, I didn't like to leave a half a beer left anywhere. Now, I suspect you, too, when you're sitting there at that table, you're ready to leave, and you may have had a couple of beers, and you're feeling pretty good, but you ain't drunk yet. But someone says it's time to go. Now, you grab that big old 24-ounce can there thinking that, you know, I hate to waste this half a beer. That's a whole beer I'm leaving over here. So,
well, he does have a point there.
He has a good point, but... Control yourself.
Right.
Don't fucking order the beer.
Don't.
Are we going to be here 5 minutes? Oh, okay. I shouldn't get the 24-ounce can, which what hipster bar are you drinking PBR in, you fucking retard? Well, it's a pint of beer in a bar.
Well, also, when I go, oh, it's a 750. Who wants in on this with me?
Because right.
I don't want to be pounding a whole 750. So it's going right. to share this one.
Now, the problem here is that you two are talking about responsible drinking, which apparently doesn't exist in Alabama.
It's just an on and an off switch. There's no dimmer.
Well, you don't have to take and drink that beer just because you don't want to waste it. Again, what I'm seeing is it's a difference in drinking a couple of ounces left in a can and drinking 16 ounces left in a can.
Or a gallon.
Again, consuming more alcohol faster because it's just in a larger size. And it's one of those things that I just know in my heart. You know, we're going to see more deaths. I hate that my good friend's bringing this bill.
P.S. Another bad argument.
I feel it.
I know in my heart.
I feel it.
No, yeah. You don't know anything in your heart. Shut up. And go find an argument.
What do you mean? Feelings are facts.
Yeah. No, maybe he has a dysfunctional valve. That's what he feels.
He said, and he goes, "they can't believe his good friend is bringing this bill."
Right.
Yeah, when was the last time you called your big good friend
your
at
good
home?
Your good friend, yeah.
Just because you're in the same room with him, on the floor, it doesn't mean you're friend of his.
All these people are doing is trying to evoke emotion.
I just like to go on record that my heart knew about this before anybody else did.
We're going to have more deaths because it's more alcohol. Is it really...
Someone's gonna get hit by a drunk driver, which happens, whether there's big bottles or small bottles. It's got to come back in the news, and he's like...
Yeah, or Chivas Regal.
I would like to give props to my heart for knowing this before anybody else did. I told you, my heart told me, and then I told you that this was going
to
happen.
In fact, when my term is over, I'd like to nominate my heart to take my seat.
My heart sounded like this. Kurt? Is your heart?
Yeah, what can I do for you, buddy?
Well, you remember the last time I told you about Annabelle Westinghouse?
I sure did. You told me about her, and I didn't listen.
You didn't listen, and you got the clap, didn't you, Kurt?
I sure did, but I tell you, it did teach me something.
Well, you got the clap that time, and then you remember the other time I told you not to steal Mrs. Henderson's pies?
Well, yeah, I did. You're right, yeah.
You stole them. What'd you do with them pies, Kurt? What'd you do with them?
I took them down to the river, and I ate. I had a catfish fry and a crawdaddy fry, and then I ate the pies.
What else did you do with them with your penis, Kurt?
I don't want to talk about that, Hart. I think, over the coals of the fry, when the fry was done, and I was sitting there. I had the string attached. On my big foot.
That's right.
On my big toe. Try to catch more. And I'm, you know, had the straw in my mouth.
Yep. And the pie. Get to the pie.
I put the pie on the coals and I warmed it up.
Yep.
And
you put it on your penis, didn't you, Kurt?
I kind of pretended that it was Mrs. Wizard House.
You did. I saw it. So I was right then, wasn't I, Kurt?
I kissed the pie, too, later.
Okay, well,
after
now.
After that, in the same hole, is that gross?
Well,
I kissed the pie where my penis...
All right, Kurt, I don't need to know. I was there. I don't need to know more. Kurt, I was there.
I didn't think it was a custard pie.
So
cream pie.
Now, listen, I was right about Annabelle, and I was right about the pies.
Yeah, what else you right about, Hart? You were wrong about the lotto, though.
I'm right about the bottles this time.
You were wrong about the lotto.
That doesn't count. That's only one in a billion chance.
And that tranny. You were wrong. I thought it was a guy, and you said, no, that's a girl, 100%.
Well, listen, I was horny that day, Kurt, and we both needed some, and I figured, hey, what do we care?
They're all out of pies.
But, Kurt, I'm going to tell you, this time I'm right again.
Okay. All right. I will put you on the board.
By the way, I'm wheezing because you've been eating too much of that barbecue, and my arteries are clogging up.
Barbecue healthy for you?
Well, it's not healthy.
It's healthy.
It ain't healthy. I'm wheezing.
Well, maybe you got a problem, Hart. I don't even know what to say. Hart.
Oh, yeah. Oh, where was I?
Don't do the bottle law. Well, okay. I mean, if, you know...
Tell them I said so.
Personally, I think... I think the people that I represent are smart enough.
No, tell them I said so. Tell them your heart said
so. Okay, I'll tell them. We'll see. It's a big gamble.
That's what happened.
All right.
He's name dropping.
That's how he got through that.
Name dropping. Well, I'll tell you who also supports this bill. Not my heart.
Not my heart. I just want to go on record and say, neither me... nor my heart.
How does his gallbladder feel?
Or my penis support this bill.
My left testicle, however, is kind of leaning towards it.
Yeah, he could really use a beer right now.
He keeps talking about cans. And has he ever seen a bottle of beer?
Probably not. You're right. All right, now we have a Democrat, Joe Hubbard, on talking about the bill.
A Southern Democrat.
See what happens here.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Montgomery, Mr. Hubbard.
Now, Mr. Ball, when you had this bill in committee, I was originally for it. And then I started reading this little book here. You know what this is?
The Bible.
It is the Constitution of the State of Alabama, great state.
Oh, Jesus.
Great and state. I saw in this book, my county, Montgomery County, already allows for 45-ounce containers. What happens to my 45-ounce containers? I just wanted you to know that as I was looking into this, I realized that we would have to sacrifice my Colt 45 in order to get some of these gourmet beer bottles.
Oh.
And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Perhaps I should get off the Colt 45 in the first place.
Get off of it.
Because I've had problems with it for years now. But I understand that this is a good bill, that we've got a company.
Moscow, this is fake. You made this.
I couldn't make it up.
I love this man. He just stood up in front of Senate and said, look, maybe I should get off it anyway. I'll admit, I got problems. Major problems.
That or he's making fun of the other two guys.
I mean, just 2 days ago, I was pants down out in the sheep field after two bottles of Colt 45. But that's neither here nor there. I'm just trying to talk about this bill right now.
I think it's a good bill.
What's going to happen to my Colt? I'm going to sacrifice my Colt 45 now. Maybe that's a good... So basically, yes.
So is he talking about shelf space? Because now we got to open up to all these other ones.
And now his Colt 45 is only going to have half the store.
Is it shelf space, or does the wording then say, okay, now you're allowed to have up to 22, which would eliminate anything over 22?
Technicality, not more than.
Sometimes they kind of add these, you know, page 7 that says, oh, by the way, this gets rid of Colt 45 in order to, you know what I'm saying? So, or it could be shelf space. I don't know.
Is Colt 45 45 ounces?
It's 40 ounces.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So
40 ounces of
freedom. I think he's a mistake. He thinks it comes in Colt 45 because 45 ounces.
Right. Now, I'd like to admit, I've had a couple problems after my Colt 45. I'd probably be better off this bill passes.
I'm drunk right now.
Yeah. That being said, where's my Colt 45? Thank you, Beatrice.
Where's my page? Give me my page.
Man, I love this guy. He's my new favorite.
Out of Atlanta, Georgia, that sells these gourmet beers and can't sell them, and that should this bill pass, they've got a piece of property over in Birmingham, Alabama, waiting to be developed to where they can move their operations to Birmingham and create up to 50 jobs, ladies and gentlemen. And so when we talk about alcohol bills, and I think some call it that,
alcohol.
This is one of those bills like the one we had last session that is not just an alcohol bill, it's a jobs bill.
That's right.
So I respect you bringing this.
Thank you,
Mr.
Scott.
Ball, I'm going to tell you, I'm a little disappointed
in
my Colt 45 may go away in Montgomery County, but I just hope that I can find a nice gourmet beer to replace it.
I think he was giving other people shit.
Yeah,
alcohol?
Yeah, I think he was going, you know, I have a little problem with that.
God, I hope so.
I think he's taking shots.
I really want him to be on our team, because otherwise...
Let's interview him.
Well, he's amazing.
He kind of is, right? I mean, he kind of, you know, his credibility is in question based on his Colt 45 stance. But, you know, hey, listen, this is real jobs, you know, prosperity, local businesses. So, you know, he is on our team. He's just a drunk.
Here's the problem, though. I think he is just giving everybody shit.
Yeah.
But the other arguments are so stupid that they're not going to get it. They're going to go, yeah, well, he right. I don't care we got a problem with Colt 45. We
don't want... Who don't?
Hey, he's one of God's children. It don't matter.
Well, I think...
I feel in my heart.
I feel in my heart.
Hey, Kurt, that one's all right. He can stay, Kurt.
Well,
thanks, Hart.
You're right. The other arguments are so stupid. We didn't even get it.
Yeah.
At first, we're like, what an asshole!
What?
And then at the end, we're like, well, maybe he was joking.
Yeah.
If you don't know that you're joking, then it's probably not really funny. It's not really, you know, I mean, come on.
I hope he was. I'd love him if he is. We got to get this guy on, Moscow.
He might be gay.
Get him on.
I'll see what I can do.
He might be gay.
Yeah, what's that have to do with anything?
Well, not in Alabama. No,
I
don't know if they have
to. Take it back about that guy. If he's gay, your heart ain't for him.
Hey, well, you can't be gay and drink Colt 45.
It's just, yeah.
Not a solid anyway.
Right, just make sure, Kurt, I want you to go have a Colt 45 with him to make sure he ain't gay.
You think I'm all so smart? I'll figure it out. I did smell the hint, the lightest, sweetest hint of Vaseline, but that could have been I don't even know what.
Well, I will remove my endorsement of him if there's Vaseline.
Well, we'll talk later. I'll take him out for a real man drink. Colt 45 with a Sherry.
All right. We can come over to my house and do it.
All right. You want to hear the results of the bill?
Yes, I would love it.
Hold on. Before you play, do you guys think it passed or failed? What's your prediction?
I'm thinking it didn't.
Can we just? Aren't we allowed to disown Alabama as part of the U.S.
of A? They tried that. It's called the Civil War.
Listen, I'm for the war to happen again.
Yeah, everyone thinks Lincoln was so great. Fuck him. He didn't let the South just leave. Like, but, just leave it.
Just Alabama. Can't we just cut out that part? Can we just? We can blow it up.
It's a slippery slope. Because next thing we're going to want to boot out Georgia too.
The entire South should just go.
This is why I'd make a terrible president.
You know
Let's
what?
Just get rid of. All right, fucking take Georgia.
Yeah. And then everyone's going, well, you guys don't know. You guys always bag on the South. You know what? Move, dude. Do yourself a favor. It's like the people you hang out with are a representation of you. Leave, dude. I don't care if they have good fried chicken.
I think it passed.
You do.
Despite the
best efforts.
Their most idiotic efforts.
Of their organs.
I think somehow... Somebody in that room had enough brains. It passed. Well, I think it passed.
You're betting that those are the only two idiots in the room.
You're right. I'm betting that there are more brains than idiots.
Okay.
That's my bet.
Well, as soon as he mentioned jobs.
Now, if anybody knows the results, you don't get to vote.
I don't know the results. Okay. I think it did not pass. I can't see how Alabama would be as progressive to increase the bottle size half, by half.
It's so progressive.
It's super progressive.
Yeah. I'm laughing, but I totally agree with your point.
I can't wait to hear the arguments on whether or not to let women vote. That will be in 20 years. I can't wait for that.
Well, then, you know, there's imported beers. We can't have that. We got to buy American.
Right. Yeah. Right. Aren't all these gourmet... By the way, when did gourmet become the worst thing on the planet? What are you going to make me eat tasty food next? Gourmet beers? And what am I going to have next? Filet mignon? I'm getting tired of it.
What I don't get, like, that's just more... That's for the rich people. Because what do you really do? First of all you really eat for is for energy. And then what happens? You poop it out. What am I going to do? I'm going to spend a couple dollars more for food. I'm just going to come out like the rest of the food.
Yeah, what
you can't
happened
tell
to
when
a
it's
good
in a bowl?
I just want to. Can I just have a rump roast?
Now, well, I can't.
No, I mean, what's wrong with a rump roast? I gotta have gourmet.
I mean, put that on low and slow for 8 hours, and it's just as good as anything else.
Susie Q, what's your vote? Susie knows the results. And Moscow knows the results.
All these gourmet beers is just going to bring more rich people in our town.
And youth.
And youth. And we don't need either of those.
No, we want old, poor people. What, you got a hole in your roof? Take down a road sign. Patch that thing up.
You know what this state needs? More old, poor people.
Oh, man. Yeah. Give us your old, give us your poor.
I don't know if you noticed, but there's a less and less old people sitting on benches. I don't like it.
You know what we need to do? We need to make more old people. How do we do that? Now bring me a bill about that. I'll vote on it.
I'll vote on it right now.
Make me some more old.
I like that one too, Kurt. I think that's a good one.
Well, Hart, you haven't led me wrong yet, except for them lotto numbers.
Well, that was different. And you, well, never mind.
All right, let's find the results, shall we? Two against, and I'm saying it passed.
Court will lock the machine, record the vote. 42 ayes, 40 nays, and the BIR fails.
Oh.
It failed!
Fails.
It was close this time.
I'm losing my faith in humanity.
Wow. Alabama is not humanity. Do not make that mistake.
It is, though.
It is not. Alabama is different.
Those are real party people.
Pardon me, Senate. I would like to speak on behalf of Kurt Wallace and say thank you. Had he listened to me, he wouldn't have gotten the clap from Annabelle. And also, he wouldn't have tucked his wiener inside of a pie. And now that you have listened once more, this is all wonderful. Long live Alabama. Are you with me? Long live Alabama. Long. Hey, I can't hear you. Long.
Now I will explode.
Yeah.
All right, suck it, Kurt.
I want to know whose speech swayed those guys. Just enough of them to vote no.
Oh, it had to be the CHP one. It had to be the one beer argument. Well, I mean, it's so solid.
It was logic, right?
It was total logic.
I think it was Kurt invoking last year's what's wrong with the beer we got argument.
Oh, it was nostalgia that won this argument.
Oh, yeah.
It drank good.
It drank good.
It drank good enough.
Oh, Alabama.
Fucking idiot. Why are these people voting these people? What is wrong with the Alabama voters?
You got to talk into Doc's mic, Susie Q. What do you got?
Cover your boobs.
You
got to
make out with Doc.
So, it actually passed the next day.
Oh, what? It got put to vote again.
It got put to vote again, and I guess the other two retards didn't show up, so it won.
Oh, smart. Now, that's some smart finagling there.
Why was it able to be put up for vote two times? Can you keep reintroducing it as many times as you want?
I think so, yeah.
No, probably not, but there's definitely loopholes like that.
I think if you change it, you can put it back through.
Oh, I see.
Some little technicality.
Yeah. Well, they probably allowed the Colt 45.
That was all it needed.
But they probably, instead of 25.2 ounces, they made it 25.8 ounces.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, I can vote for that one.
Right.
I didn't think to look if there was any, because I just heard the result. I didn't realize it was another result.
Well, thank God for Susie, who, by the way, went to Boonville, and she's more clear-headed than the rest of us.
She could go to Alabama and change the state. Still drunk.
Are there any Asians in Alabama? I wonder, Susie. I think you should go and be the first Asian in Alabama and change the world over there. Look at your bicep. Criminy, Susie Q.
All those bruises.
Yeah, I have fun.
Yeah,
you have fun doing what?
Getting bruises.
Do you work out, like weights and stuff?
I'm a hockey player and I dance.
You're a hockey player, I see. You got some... I don't want to mess with Susie anymore. I never saw the bicep anymore. She just was stretching and...
You just got a free ticket to the gun show.
I just went to the gun show.
How was it?
Wow. Well, Alabama, I guess that's some smart move. Vote for it again the second day when retard one and two are gone. And we
got to pay attention to the state elections because I want to know if these idiots keep getting elected. I don't think I could live in a state that was just so retarded. I couldn't do it.
You know, maybe instead of putting the BNs home in Martinez like we're about to, I think we'd get a lot of good radio if we just moved to Alabama right now. And
we're getting enough good radio over the internet.
Yeah,
through Alabama. Please, we don't need.
You don't sound very committed. It's all about the infotainment, JP. And if it's a better place for those resources, we should seriously consider it.
I tell you what, you don't get cleaner water by moving closer to the sewage treatment plant, do you?
Right. So
no. That's correct.
No,
just point that west.
What are you, now you're like Mr. Sayings.
Just point the west to east.
Yes. I have to point the west.
Because now you got a reason to go.
Toward Bama. Where
Mr. Sayings.
Kate the Great, where did he go? I don't know. He was talking a lot about Alabama. We didn't really understand what the fuck he was saying, but he was talking an awful lot about Alabama.
I hope they never change. For the sake of this radio show, I hope they never change.
I agree.
Well, if you
with
come
you.
Back with a shitload of Colt 45, we got to know where you've been.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You've been in Martinez.
I've been in Martinez.
Basically, yeah.
Your own little Alabama.
That's well, good job on the audio, Moscow. Yep. It's amazing. You can't write that stuff.
Nope.
What an idiot.
No, specifically, you can't write that.
Oh, just me. Yeah. Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, God.
All right. We got to do feedback. And
really? Feedback.
Is there a way to do Drunk of the Week? Because I don't really think there is.
Can people Skype in?
How about they just drunk text?
We could Skype.
They can't call the Skype, but they can Skype to Skype, yeah?
They could Skype me. Should we do it all Skype Drunk of the Week?
Let's do it.
Yeah, because you can't do chat room. This is it's impossible.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do feedback. We'll do it all Skype Drunk of the Week. Don't start calling me at the break. I'm only going to be able to answer one at a time, and we'll do it that way. So, quick break. Come back. We'll finish the Twitter game. We'll do Drunk of the Week via Skype, if you've got Skype, and we'll do feedback. Don't let me forget feedback.
Our Skype name is Brewing Network, in case you don't know.
It's the session. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters. This is Jamel Zainashev, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version, too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever-so-subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn-the-cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy-drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
To find Heretic beers near you, click on Find Some at hereticbrewing.com.
Did you know the Brewing Network's very own Code Writin' Fool's son, Ryan Wolf, has opened a beer mecca in Missouri? The Wolf Brow House of Beer has hundreds of beers from all over the world and is conveniently close to I-70 in St. Peter's. Free tastings, Saturdays 4 to 6 p.m., featuring special guests from local breweries, the best build-your-own six-pack around with every style represented, and kegged craft beer available for your kegerator, too. There's always something new at the Wolf Brow House of Beer. New and hard to find beer every week. No two visits are the same. Just like passing out at the Rat Pad.
Hi, this is Ryan from Wolf Brow House of Beer. Mention the Brewing Network when you stop in for some cool free stuff. Mention JP for a swift kick in the ass.
The Wolf Brow House of Beer. Beer with personal service from a member of the BN Army.
This is Code. Visit my son's shop or I'll yank the f***ing BN website down.
www.wolfbrow.com. Here's a bite for beer lovers. Soft caramel made with real craft brew and coated in chocolate. And hop drops, hard candies made with real hop oil. Introducing Beer Candy from BeerCandy.com. Beer Candy's amazing caramels come in four mouth-watering flavors. IPA, bitter gold wrapped in smooth white chocolate. Lager, made with a familiar beer from Boston and coated in milk chocolate. Lambic, soury Belgian goodness full of fresh raspberry and dipped in dark chocolate.
chocolate.
And stout, roasty cocoa chocolate insanity. Hop drops are made with Fuggles or Cascade hops and are known as the candy that bites you back. Choose from sampler and full sizes of both and make your mouth jump to life. All at beercandy.com. Hop drops and beer caramels satisfy your sweet tooth as only a beer lover could with beer candy. Visit beercandy.com today.
You know, when Israel had sinned and God was trying to decide who he gonna send down to save the earth, they was around, somebody had suggested that he sent Abraham. He told Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister, not his wife. Then said, no, he can't send Noah. Said,
strictly illegal.
Noah was a little wino.
I had a fellow live next door to me who brewed homebrew in the bathtub.
The beer we sell it now, not good enough.
But it was strictly illegal.
I don't think you want to do this to your children, do you? Man, you gonna make everybody up there wino. I don't think you want to do this to your children, do you? Man, you gonna make everybody up there wino. You know, we have people that live on the street that'll go into your local Dollar General store and buy shaving lotion for a high. Chevy Regal is stamped and approved by the governmental agency that said this is healthy.
Strictly illegal. Bathtub.
You don't want your child at a party. I was children already getting a whole ton of alcohol.
Brewed homebrew in the bathtub. In the bathtub.
I can just see my bootlegger now. I can just see my bootlegger now. Now, now.
I got all I want for free.
I got all I want for free.
How you gonna make it in your home if you don't have the facilities to make sure it's healthy? Noah was a little wino.
What's gonna keep these folks from making moonshine in their house?
What does MEAD need? What is that?
You know, the thing about this deal that really scares me the most.
Was you got to be scientifically trained.
I don't think you want to do this to your children,
to determine that.
Noah was a
Chevy's Regal is stamped and approved by the governmental agency that said this is healthy.
Chevy's Regal is stamped and approved.
Strictly illegal. Illegal.
God was trying to decide who he gonna send down.
Strictly illegal.
Somebody had suggested that he sent Abraham.
Strictly illegal.
He told Pharaoh that Sarah was his
strictly illegal
sister, not his wife. Then the Lord came to the Lord said,
strictly illegal.
And by shame and motion,
strictly illegal.
Man, you gonna make everybody up there wino.
Live. Beer Radio. The Brewing Network.
The Brewcasters.
If you're just starting, don't be discouraged by all this stuff. It's exactly. So easy.
Just throw it together.
Put some sugar and some water and some yeast in there.
Yeah.
The Brewing Network.
Are back.
It ain't 401 beer.
Whatever.
Yeah, welcome back to the program.
program. A big special thanks to Chuckanut Brewery for being on the line with us today. Will and Mari were just awesome to talk to, and their beer was wonderful. You can go check them out. Check them out online, too. Do a quick search for Chuckanut, and you'll find them. You'll see a picture of Will up on stage with Mr. Charlie Papazian.
Whoa!
Getting his GABF medals, I think. Check it out. We've already got Skype people calling in for Drunk of the Week, it looks like. Thomas, what's happening?
Thomas,
you there, buddy? I can't do your video. All right. Don't video Skype me, anybody. Just call me like a normal person.
Probably had his junk out.
And turn down your computer,
please. Yeah. Don't Skype me with the stream on.
Turn up your radio.
All right, he's going to try again. He probably didn't hear anything I just said, did he?
Oh, of course not. He turned down his radio.
Hey, Thomas, what's happening?
Does that work?
It kind of works. Just turn down the other audio. But yeah, what's happening, brother? Can you hear me? Hey, fuck off! This is a bad idea. This Skype drunk of the week.
Yeah, why? Because they're drunk and they can't do it.
Seriously, I'm just not going to do drunk of the week for several weeks. I think is what's going to happen.
God damn! Thank you.
You want to do feedback real quick?
Yeah.
Do that. Let's do it.
Don't have to ask me that.
Might take me a minute to get it up here.
Yeah, it does.
You know, just give me a second.
Take you a while to get it.
You guys want me to answer Thomas's call once more?
Let's try it.
Hey, Thomas, what's happening, man?
Was that a sheep? You are drunk.
What's happening, man?
He and the sheep are coming at the same time.
You got a bunch of people over there?
There's a guy over here, a guy over here. You're gonna have to get one of the Viennas.
I got a guy behind me, I got a guy in front of me.
They call that a train where I'm from.
That's called Lucky Pierre.
It's healthy.
It is healthy.
Are you guys at Chuckanut?
Yes.
Oh, alright. Yeah. So, what are you guys drinking at Chuckanut?
Each other.
Beer all the time. Yeah.
Just drinking each other.
It's
Pilsner and the Helles and the Kolsch.
Round up to redefine corporate travel.
Turn off your Justin TV.
Ignore that.
Wait a minute. I wanted to hear about corporate travel.
Yeah. I'm interested in it.
And know that the only reason I'm tolerating this bullshit is because you're at Chuckanut right now.
We got hands going. We have no idea what's going on. We got random shit going on in the background.
Kill your browser, man.
And each other.
Where's our
killing? Hey, I ain't never seen this computer before.
How do you work the confuser?
It sounds like the building could be burning down right now. And they're like, I don't know. Just run in a circle. If you run in a circle, we'll be fine.
They remind me like there's like three headed monsters, like three headed ogres in cartoons that are just total retarded people.
Cell phone up here.
You eat them. I'm going to eat them.
See you, assholes.
All right. So, what are you guys drinking at Chuckanut?
Everything.
Kolsch.
One at a time, idiots.
Every lager they got on tap plus smoke porter.
Oh, I'll tell you, I'd like to try that Helles too. I'm a Helles fan.
Yeah.
I bet that's a good beer.
And right here, thanks,
man. That
good Helles.
It's good stuff.
Beautiful. Now, did you guys have a bunch of people show up to listen to the show there tonight, or just a couple of you?
Yeah, it's just a four plus rando inside, so we got like five.
Yeah, the other guy, so like six.
It's a big draw for that holiday.
Now, when I was there, if I remember right, and it's a little blurry, but I'm pretty sure I remember a hot bartender too.
Yeah, there was a few of them. We got the dudes on tonight. It's a shame.
No.
You were a little blurry.
Yeah, it was the dude. I was like, wow, his beard is nice.
Yeah, you never seen a hot dude before?
Pretty long hair.
Well, you guys are pretty lucky to have that brewery there, man. It's that beer's amazing.
Yes, we are.
So, how drunk are you?
I'm on eight.
Who's counting? Number seven.
All right. I heard eight, then I heard seven. Okay.
That's pretty good.
What time did you guys get there and start drinking?
Five. Watch your show.
Nice. Beautiful.
We just happened to be down on the bay drinking a little bit earlier than that, too. Not the tastiest. We were drinking the vitamin R, for sure.
Rain dogs.
Oh, Rainier.
Rainier, yeah. The rain dogs. I like it. You guys are educating me right
anything
now.
To
I like
make it. Anything to make it sound cool.
Yeah, of course.
Our dogs, brah.
Makes the beer taste better.
Yeah.
You know.
We go by the railroad crossing because it says RR.
Now, when you
and
say
we
you're
drink Rainiers, bro, that's what we do.
When you say you were down by the bay, like were you guys just hanging out? Are you fishing or something? What are you doing down there?
Walking just hanging out.
Okay.
Get sunburned.
Got it. If you go down the right alley, you can meet dudes.
They look just like the bartenders at Chuckanut.
Right.
Did you just say the bartenders at Chuckanut are gay prostitutes?
Huh?
What?
All right.
Usually the place to meet dudes is next door to the other brewery in town.
Yeah.
That's true.
No joke, the gay bar.
The gay bar is next to Boundary Bay.
Oh, I was at Boundary Bay. I hope I was in the right spot. I don't know.
It was all kind of blurry.
What's the best?
I have Boundary Beer next door, too.
Right. Oh, they do? Yeah, then who knows where I was? Yeah.
Is it Boundary Beer? Like, there's no boundaries.
There's though. No boundaries.
No yeah, Boundary
there's
Beer.
There's Boundary Bay, and then right next door is no boundaries.
Yeah. No boundaries.
Well, oddly enough, there's a lot of Boundary Bay on tap.
You guys got a good beer scene out there, man.
It's pretty incredible. Like, a lot of people like to think we're going to be turning into Bend, Oregon.
Oh, I could see that.
I
thought you were going to say a bigger city, and I was going to like, yeah, settle down, buddy. But
a lot of people like to think our city will grow.
It's a horrible city for everything else but beer.
Okay.
I would ever move here.
And gay. And gay nightclubs, apparently.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty...
And all the nightclubs are, they're just gay ones.
Move here. Nothing else.
Move here if you want to be an alcoholic, I mean...
Yeah, well,
or Alabama.
I do aspire to that.
Although we do have a great homebrewing scene, though.
I doubt that very highly.
Yep. Why do you? What is it about Drunk of the Week calls that turn you into such an asshole?
I've never heard of a great homebrewing community. It just doesn't happen.
I see.
Except on the internet, because then you can't taste each other's beer.
Right. When I was at the Boundary Bay, across the street in the parking lot, there was a European car show happening.
European.
And I was driving by my piece of crap Volkswagen. It was kind of embarrassing. There were all these really nice European car, like race cars and
stuff.
Should
have
honked
at them.
Yeah.
Driving your
fucking bus. So you guys have good beer, a good homebrew scene, and European car shows.
And nice gay people.
And gay bars.
And gay bars. That sounds kind of cool to me. Sounds like a good town. All right, folks, were you guys all... there's four of you, right?
Yeah. Yes.
All four of you are in the running for Drunk of the Week.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
Be safe.
Yeah.
And be careful.
How are you getting home?
And, walk home.
Bicycle!
Bicycles. Beautiful.
Yeah, you would.
I love it. Love it. All right. Beautiful. And, If any one of you is able, enjoy a Pilsner for me, because damn it, that was a good beer.
You got to try the Vienna when you get a chance. Yeah.
We've already had multiple Pilsners.
Okay, I'd love to try the Vienna, man. That's a good style. So, are you guys going to go to NHC?
Yep. Bellingham Homebrewers Guild. We're going to have a booth club night.
All right, beautiful. We'll see you down there then.
Awesome.
Cheers, kids. Thanks for listening.
Cheers. Thanks, Justin.
All right, guys. All right. I like that. Drunk of the Week from the brewery interview. That's hardcore,
that's good,
man.
That's great. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Skype wasn't such a stupid idea.
No, it was a good idea.
It was for the first 5 minutes.
That's all Justin's fault.
It was my... I didn't tell him no video. It was my fault. All right, let's do... feedback, right?
Okay.
All right, feedback's brought to you today by Relax. Chillin' and Grillin' in Hollister, California. New sponsor of ours. You can go out there. And who knew? Out there in Hollister, California, which has some other cool things going on, has a bar. They got like 30-something taps on.
Oh, wow.
And they're aspiring to more. And they're doing beer dinners and all kinds of good stuff. They bring in brewers for pint night. And I kind of think of Hollister's way out there, but it's actually sort of centrally located when you think of breweries like Firestone can get to it. I know they've done some Firestone events there.
Right.
And they've done some 2-1-A events there.
Oh, cool.
Actually, the guys, our boys at 2-1-A have gone out there. So check out Relax, Chillin' and Grillin' if you're in Hollister, or if you're doing the drive like from us to SoCal, you can go right through to Monterey, all that kind of stuff. So check them out. They're bringing you feedback today.
Oh, my God.
You've got mail.
Kick ass.
Ooh, that's bassy in these headphones, man.
Yeah.
Like that?
Remix.
All right, Nutty Gnome writes in, hey guys, let's get straight to the point. In 2011, I loved rocking out with the Trophy Fire during your break. But what the hell happened? Why no love for the Trophy Fire during breaks in 2012? The band, that band is my go-to moody music for when I'm getting drunk or crunk with the missus.
Yeah.
Bring it back. As always, suck at JP and his chickens, too.
What?
P.S. Your beer-related stuff is good, too, from Nutty Gnome. Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't want people to get sick of the Trophy Fire. You know, too much of it. We don't want to be top 40 radio. We just, that's all we play. But I did play Trophy Fire at the break today, I think. I played Medicaid. And they're in studio doing a new album. So once they put that out, I'll be able to play some more.
Yeah, or go buy their album. You can listen to it whenever you want.
That's true. All right, Vinny writes in, hey guys, I can honestly say that if it were not for the Brewing Network, I would be a rather shitty brewer, as I often do not ingest the written word via books, as well as I do the spoken word.
The things under my couch.
The next Alabama Senate bill is to enlarge the space of books. We would like larger books in Alabama.
Now, some of us can't afford arms and legs for our couches.
That sounds like it's for the rich for me.
What's wrong with the books we got?
Well, that's for just for you to get more people that can read coming in here.
The books we got work just fine. They be working good.
Don't they?
We only need one book.
For good derp, book. Derp.
I ain't never seen no problem with one single book we got. I ain't never seen a book.
I had one thrown at me, and then there's the Bible.
He goes on to say,
"I ain't done coloring yet."
I want to let you know my improvement was all because of you, who helped inspire and guide me. That's why I'm proud to say that I won my first medal in a homebrew competition. Nice. Yeah, he won gold in the Belgian Strong category for his Belgian Golden Strong.
Nice.
Said thank you very much for entering beer.
said it was only his second competition ever, and if it were not for the Brewing Network, I don't think I would have accomplished this goal. Brew strong and brew often from Vinny. Thanks, man. I'm glad you did well. Congratulations.
Yeah, I relate with Vinny big time. You can just, I absorb the spoken word so much better than the written.
Yeah, you do. You like spoken word.
I don't absorb any of it.
I like cartoons.
Let's see. I don't know who this is. Somebody writes in, I would like to begin by saying thank you for all that you do for homebrew, and I credit you for the wealth of knowledge I've been able to pass along to future homebrewers. It's certainly become a subject and hobby I'm passionate about. I began on 9/11/2011, and by batch 4 was into all grain, yada, yada, yada. My true intention of this email was to request for a clean black and white sketch of the hop grenade. He has a... What the hell does he want to do with it, JP?
He wants to etch glasses and things like that. He wants to make his own fucking bullshit.
No.
No.
Thanks for writing.
No.
Like
I said, it's not feedback.
Yeah, he says, y'all effing rock from Loveland, Colorado. Okay, yeah, I don't know. You can't be etching your own stuff. I don't know. It gets weird then, and then I have to pay somebody to make sure their people aren't stealing our logos and stuff. I don't know. But we have glasses. They're sitting in Oakland waiting for me to pick them up. I don't have anywhere to put them. No. We have the Belgian beer goblets with the hop grenade etched in them that people have been asking me for years. They're sitting in a warehouse in Oakland. I don't have anywhere to put them.
But you have a big backyard. You can put them there.
Just put them in the back. Yeah, put them in my bedroom, I guess. All right. Jeff writes in, hey, guys. I'm writing to say thanks for the great information. Between all the BN shows, my brewing has improved to the point where my ESB is now in the NHC finals. It's almost exactly the Can You Brew It Fuller's recipe, except for the hops, which I had to change a bit because all the Target hops I found were shit brown.
You should try Walmart.
So, just keep up the good work. I look forward to seeing new podcasts coming out. That's Jeff from St. Louis, Missouri.
Sorry about the blues, buddy.
And finally, Pete the Dink writes in, could you please play the new Brain Oil when it's released?
Oh, yeah.
I've had Maneater stuck in my head all day, you jerk. From Pete the Dink. Yeah, I got a couple of those last week. I knew that playing a little Hall & Oates is going to stick it in people's brains.
Yeah.
I don't have brain oil on my computer.
You're like a music terrorist.
I am a music terrorist.
You know, I was watching my friend's band in San Francisco, and in between the two bands, they were playing video of Hall & Oates.
Yeah! I love it.
They look so young, too.
You guys want some more Hall & Oates?
No. Yeah, I do.
Terrorist. To get you through this week.
Get like a deep track. Don't just do, you know, Maneater or, you know, the other one. To do, like, get deep on this motherfucker.
Are there deep cuts?
Yeah, they've had, like, what, 18 albums or whatever. They got to be some, you know, ultra-rare B-sides.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, I didn't know they did this, huh?
Let's see. God damn it, I love their photos. The reason I have to play it is because of the photos. You gotta, you know, if you were to go online and Google their photos, you'd know why I'm about to terrorize you. Because the photos are just amazing. One-on-one? That's from the best. They're still from the best of.
You can't ever do best ofs.
Especially with them.
That's all I'm seeing on my player here.
We'll do one-on-one. I don't think I've ever heard it.
Oh, wait. Here's She's Gone from Abandoned Luncheonette. Remember that album? It was great.
Let's do it. Oh, yeah.
I love it already. See, at least I won't be earworming anybody with the deep cuts.
Yeah.
That's some funk right there.
Oh, yeah.
Doc,
baby.
Why don't you... Doc, introduce this song. Go ahead.
And I'd like to give you a Hall & Oates, going back for you people that really remember the good music the way it was for all of us.
Doc, you missed your calling. She's gone.
Come on, Doc. Hit the post. Let's go.
That's their funk right there.
Can we just do the rest of feedback over this bed?
We're done with feedback anyway.
This should be your fucking news bruise cast. Yeah, news thing. This is a song. When we say get a better song, this is what we mean.
When we say something new for Moscow's bullshit, it's this. No, that's the name of your segment, right?
It's already, yeah. But this already sounds like what I play.
No. Uh-oh.
Oh, baby.
Doc, why don't you do me a favor? Send a Happy Mother's Day note to everybody across this bed.
I'd like to just give a Happy Mother's Day out there to all you moms, because, you know, you do all for us all year long. We got to give it back to you on your day. So here's to you, Mom.
But then you try to bomb me with a sermon. But it's plain to say that.
That's pretty good, Doc. Damn, that's fantastic. You did miss your calling. Spent all these years drilling teeth. You could have been making nothing as a DJ.
Drilling moms.
Oh, yeah.
Does the Brewing Network have a no payola policy?
Yeah. No. Hell no. Take payola.
We don't get any perks.
All right. This one's good. This is going to get stuck in your head right here. I don't think I played this one last week. Maybe I did.
Oh, your kiss, right? Isn't that what this is?
Yeah. Where is your kiss?
It's on my lips.
That's
on my lips.
Right.
Lips? List.
List. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, fuck that, man. I hate it now.
Such an awful... All of them are so awful and so great.
Awful? I think it's really good.
It's both.
I love it. He sounds like he's in our studio right now.
Reminds me like they wrote the song in an hour. Right? That chopping broccoli.
On the back of a napkin.
Shit, it's like chopping broccoli. Chopping broccoli! There you go, Pete. This one's for you.
Because your kiss is on my list. Because your kiss.
Susie, I can't look you in the eye when your boobs are up above the monitor.
Get down! Yeah.
She's like, that's fine, whatever. That's story of my life. They are bigger than your head, it's true.
Wear a shawl next time.
There you go. Yeah, put on that new sheepskin that we have.
Yeah. Everybody gets to feel the sheepskin.
No, you're putting it on backwards. Put it, you're inside out. Yeah, put the fur against your skin. There we go. Yeah.
All right, you want to do Twitter games so we can get out of here?
Let's do Twitter games so we can get out of here.
Twitter.
I have to go play Red Dead Redemption, talk shit to 10-year-olds.
Oh, yeah?
Tour game. Wait, let's hold on. Oh, yeah. I still haven't played against your
kids. Oh, yeah, they'll kick your ass. They love doing that.
I've never played against them. Anyway. Okay, so the question is, can I get a bed, please?
Sure.
Thank you. Oh, I'm really tired. All right. The question is, if you had to be a G.I. Joe, which would you be and why? We actually got some pretty good ones. I'm kind of surprised to be an Army. So, Andrew Lignetz, he says, G.I. Joe with kung fu grip so I could spank it like I did something wrong. It's pretty good. Fat on the inside says Snow Job because his name is Snow Job.
Okay.
Mantro 11 says Iceberg. Always thought it was funny to see a brother in the Arctic.
Oh, I like that.
Gentle Cunt Punch.
What?
Yep.
All right, leave it at that. Leave it at that.
Says Charbroil because using a flamethrower to burn people is pretty gnarly. Okay. That was his, like, weapon. It was a...
I see.
Yeah, okay. Kyle Schmidt says Marlon Wayans so I could kill myself for being in that abomination known as the live-action G.I. Joe movie. And Brad Brewing says Beachhead. Seriously, name one person that doesn't like them some Beachhead.
I can't think of one.
That's pretty funny. So that's it.
That's funny.
I like Beachhead and, yeah, and Iceland or whatever. The brother,
Iceberg.
The brother in the Arctic.
Yeah.
I like those two.
I like the Marlon Wayans one also.
Okay, so that's three. Are we good to vote on those three? Hang on, Solo. Is that a guitar or a guitar?
That's a guitar.
I saw Oates playing a six string instead of his bass last night.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, he's gonna raise it. He's raising the roof right now. What do you mean last night?
I saw him on a video in between bands, and it's like, why am I being subjected to watching this?
Dude, I had tickets to the Wall again for Friday night, yeah, and I had to sell them. I couldn't go.
Yeah, did you give them to Mike and Jack?
Yeah, gave them to my friends.
Yeah, they said it was pretty damn good.
Oh, God. I wanted to go again so bad, because I've only seen it 1.25 times.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to go again. And, I heard it was real good. It was at Pac Bell Park this
time. Yeah, they said it was bigger and badder than before.
Ah, I'm bummed. So, anyway. All right, let's vote. So we've got Ice House.
We got Iceberg.
Iceberg.
Always thought it was funny to see a brother in the Arctic.
Okay.
We have Marlon Wayans, I Can Kill Myself for being that abomination known as the live-action G.I. Joe movie.
That's good.
And Beachhead, seriously, name one person that doesn't like them some Beachhead.
Okay. Vote if it's Iceberg.
I like Bice, yeah.
That's two. All right, vote if it's Marlon Wayans. That's two. Vote if it's Beachhead. That's Suze with her two. We have a three-way tie.
Shit balls.
Well, someone's going to have to be swayed somewhere. I could be swayed over to Beachhead, actually. Beachhead. I think it's good. I think his logic is good. It does sound like a G.I. Joe name.
It is.
He'd be like, somehow he would like fight with sand or something.
It is.
No, he lands on the beach first.
Oh, it is a G.I. Joe name? Yeah, oh, I thought they were inventing G.I. Joe names. I see. I didn't remember a Beachhead.
Yeah.
What the heck did Beachhead do?
You were too drunk.
What I was doing? Like, he fights with sand and stuff. He throws sand in people's eyes.
He's not really good long
sand
distance.
In your eyes.
Yeah. He's more of a hand-to-hand combat.
He's a hand-to-hand combat guy. I should think he was.
I mean, unless you guys want to move. I could move to Beachhead. I could be moved.
I could be moved anywhere for a hug. If someone stood up and hugged me real hard for 5 seconds, I would go anywhere.
Moscow,
I'm not that attached to Beachhead.
We voted for the same one.
Nobody wants to. Susie will give you a hug, and then it would move over. Susie, you want to give JP a hug?
I ain't swaying
anyway. No, Susie doesn't want to give.
No.
What the hell's wrong with JP?
I haven't showered in a couple days.
I'll give JP a hug.
No.
But then you're only moving over. Actually, then you move to me, and then I don't have to move to Beachhead.
Right. But does that solve anything?
No, but he's still on his team.
Oh.
Scott's, yeah. She's right.
I see. So Scott, the only thing that works is me moving to Beachhead.
Right.
So it doesn't matter JP needing a hug.
Well, no, it matters that JP needs a hug.
Does.
Yeah. Nah, it doesn't matter, JP. Right. The story of JP's life. I guess you're right. Once again, it doesn't matter that JP needs a hug. All right, so Beachhead is our winner in the Twitter game today.
Brad Brewing.
All right. Also, even though it was a solo entry, we haven't had any other Drunk of the Week calls. I was going to give it to him anyway because I love having our Drunk of the Week call from the brewery that we interviewed.
Yes.
Thomas and Crew out at the Chuckanut Brewery in Bellingham, Washington. They're our Drunk of the Week. And their inebriation is courtesy of Will and Mari there at the Chuckanut Brewery. Yes. So
hopefully
what a wonderful
DUI won't be either.
No, they're doing the bicycle thing. Right?
Good. DUI. You can still get a Dewey on a bike.
Yeah, but that's stupid.
It's a buoy.
It's a buoy.
That's stupid.
Hey, while we're transitioning here, I want to give a shout out to our friend Mills. Mills, he has a brewery. He's opened a brewery called Crankers Brewery. Oh, right. So you can find him on Facebook.
Facebook.com/Crankers Brewery.
They are in Big Rapids, Minnesota, 213 South State Street. So give him a shout, give him a like on Facebook, and support our good buddy Mills there. He's done a lot for the BN and indirectly for you listeners.
Fantastic. Yeah. They're like, also, we can act.
Yeah.
Not only do we write these, but we can act.
Was this the video that they were, like, going in and out of, like, giant letters?
In trench coats and shit? Yeah. Like, also, we have great wardrobes. Hey, I know. What if you wore a trench coat and glasses for the video? That's brilliant!
Done! Lots of fog.
Yes, there was lots of fog.
I think they'll get the message.
Yeah. I'm going to have to YouTube this video after the show now, just to bring me back to the genius that is Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Pete.
Can we get them on the show?
Probably. Yeah. In between the winery tour? Yeah, probably.
Yeah. B&A 7?
Oh. I would make us play all Hall & Oates if we were doing a B&A 7 set this year.
Yes.
Nothing but Hall & Oates.
And we're not, though. It's
but we're not.
Dicks.
Oh. Probably not going to happen. There might be some surprises, but we're not doing a full set. All right. I think our work is done here, except to say, if you're looking for a way to spice things up in the bedroom, you can go to adamandeve.com right now. Check it out, adamandeve.com right now. And if you order an item, almost any item is 50% off. You get one item at 50% off. And then you get free shipping. And then you get three free DVDs. And then you get a gift so sensual we can't mention it while people are listening to this program inside public places. And all of that just by using coupon code BNARMY. BNARMY, and get a bunch of stuff from Adam and Eve to have fun with your significant other, spouse, dudes, chicks, whatever you have fun with.
Yeah, we don't judge here.
We don't judge, we don't care, but do it and shop through us. BN Army, go to adamandeve.com.
Ooh, baby, that's so sensual.
Yeah, he should have done the
read. Should have done the read. Yeah. Are we done?
I think we're done.
Moscow?
Yeah. We are all done.
Let me look. I did that.
You didn't give me an outline, so I don't know.
I did that. I did everything. We did this. We did this. Our first show from Martinez, gentlemen. Good job. And lady. All right, so we're back in this studio next week, and then we've got an off week for Memorial Day. I do hope that we're in a new home by then, but we do need to get through this little area of our lives, which is finding out where the heck we're going to be. Thanks for listening to us. Thanks again to Chuckanut for hanging out with us. I do really appreciate them sending beer, and thanks to the listeners for putting up with our bullshit, right? I think that's good enough.
It's pretty good, right?
Oh, yeah.
I got to find your bed, JP.
Yeah.
Jimbo.
I thought I might have. So I'm trying to find some stupid link, so you can take your time.
Well, in the meantime, tune in next week for Humpty Dumpty Brewery from the UK. Guy's coming a long way to sit in our temporary studios with us.
Did we fly him out in the BN jet?
It was actually the BN helicopter. It made several stops along the way.
That's cool.
Do we have beer? Did they bring the hoof their beer along or what?
No, the chopper pilot wouldn't let him take alcohol on the aircraft.
No, because they had to fly over.
We gotta find
Alabama.
Fire that guy.
Yeah, their airspace is restricted.
The bottles were too big.
Yes. Yeah, they wouldn't let him in the airspace.
Colt 45.
That's why they're called bombers.
No, I think we are actually going to get beer. They said they were going to sneak a few beers on the airplane in their suitcases.
Good. Do they know that that we're back to them having to come sit in a garage to do an interview? Did you tell them that?
No, I'm waiting till the last second. It's an uncomfortable conversation.
Just send a photo of it, because at least it looks nice, and then just go, yeah, by the way, it's a garage. You have to smell the oil on the other side and the gas.
Half of it's nice.
I think a junk truck is cleaning out the other half this week, but...
Just rent one of those pods.
I feel like such a douche bringing people back to the garage. They'll have fun, I guess.
Yeah, they'll understand.
Do they have they listened to the show?
Yeah, they're fans. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so they
know. Get it.
Okay, well, that makes me feel better.
Yeah. They won't feel so dirty.
I mean, the whole point of moving to the BN somewhere else is to stop having to feel like a douche every time I invite somebody to the show.
That's We're not going to stop, Jay. That's in your... That's other issues.
Yeah. I guess you're right.
We're in transition. It'll be fine.
But we still keep it going.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty good setup here.
It's all right.
You know.
It's a garage.
It smells better than the Studio A did.
For now.
It probably smells better than Studio D did.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you don't get that overwhelming smell of, like, balls.
Yeah, there is less balls in here. Yeah.
Is that why you're always sneezing?
Yeah.
JP's allergic to balls.
That's right.
It's just the ball sweat.
I don't know if you knew. All right, what's the brewery called, Moscow?
Humpty Dumpty Brewery.
Humpty Dumpty. All right, that's next week. Thanks for sticking with us. I'll get this archive up as soon as possible, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you to our show sponsor, morebeer.com. You get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. The new season of Justin's show, Carpool Showdown, is underway. Watch it on Coffee TV 20 if you're in the Bay Area, or online at coffeetv20.com if you're not so blessed to live in the Bay Area. And also, Justin and the Brewing Network were on CBS Eye on the Bay recently, so go to sanfrancisco.cbslocal.com, go to Eye on the Bay, and you can find the show and watch it there. Paxton was on, our very own Nicole Ernie was on, and there's a picture of JP. Follow JP on Twitter at Major Jip to hear him beg for help with his movie scripts and to improve his life. Moscow paints really nicely, and he has some paintings for sale. Follow Moscow Paints for slim to no info on the subject. For some good beer insight and homebrew info, follow Nate at Nathan Homebrew, and be sure to find the Brewing Network on Facebook and Twitter.
Justin's in Moscow and winning the race. JP does great as his charity.